listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
His arms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs, but he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words don't come out. He's joking how, everybody's joking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, blow.
Blow. Welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And this is a very special Wednesday edition, of course, of the Walking Dead recap, Day Walking. You know, as usual, we reach out to different people, have some guests on and stuff like that. And I feel like if you guys listening to the MTR network, you should be familiar with our voice.
Correct.
If you're in the chat room, you guys should be familiar. If, you know, you heard about our story at AwesomeCon and we talked about those the cake that we ate, you guys should know already, but, on Twitter she goes by Not That Ashanti, but it's our girl Ashanti, who is, you know, a host over there for MTR for the Scarestalgia, show, where they talk about all kinds of old scary movies, and DocuDrunks, another spinoff premium show. What's going on, Ashanti?
Hey guys, how are y'all?
Great. We're glad you're here, man.
I know.
You know, she's a trooper, y'all. She's been sick for so, like, since we saw her last.
Right.
And went to Cowfish and everything. It was like a few weeks ago. And she's been going through it and still was able to do the show today, sick, which, you know, I can't even say I would have done, which, you know, we really appreciate it, Ashanti.
We do. We thank you very much.
Hey, I am happy to be here. And I just want you to know, Karen, sent you some feedback. Because I was a little hurt that you forgot about those Haribo gummy cokes.
She did. She sold you out.
That hurt
my didn't
heart.
Know that was the name. I'm so sorry.
Can't do nothing nice for people, Ashanti.
they were delicious.
If you don't do nothing nice for people.
And you were the real MVP because you make those cupcakes stretch out like almost 2 whole weeks. Like there was a whole balls deep that went past before you remembered and managed to get Justin one.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, no, sir. You are not going to eat all these cupcakes. He gets some too.
I guess you should have left the gummy cokes with us. And then Karen would have remembered. That was the one flaw in the plan. what is DocuDrunks, Ashanti?
Well, LaShonda and LaToya and I essentially get wasted, and we discuss documentaries that we watched. Our most recent releases were T-Rex, the story of the young girl who went to the Olympics, the first Olympic boxing champion from Flint, Michigan. And the one before that, we did Paris is Burning, which was incredible. I think the first one that we did was 13th.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I actually kind of felt bad I got plastered for that one because it's so serious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know what? But in a way, maybe you need some brown, you know, to wash that seriousness down. Maybe you own to something. Maybe when I watch it, I'm going to get drunk and then be like, oh, you know what? Injustice is bad, but this crown is good, too.
Yeah, well, you definitely need it to help you, like, flush the pain away as you watch it. But then later on, once you discuss it, you kind of, like, want to be able to speak about it on some kind of authority without the aid of booze. But
it prevents you from crying.
So, well, I don't know. I kind of get weepy. I get weepy and sleepy. It just depends on what you give me.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that.
Now,
yeah.
I get sleepy. That's me.
If I was, like, a crying drunk, I definitely couldn't watch the 13th thing while drunk, because I don't know what, I just jump out my window or something. Karen just come home and the window just busted out. They're like, what happened? Yeah, he just watching the documentaries drunk. Well, that's dope, man. And it's cool that you know, you're spreading your wings in this podcasting thing. You've been you know, listening to us for so long, and it felt like we knew you before we even knew you.
Right.
So it's been awesome to get to meet you in person and hang out with you a couple times and everything. So and we plan to see you again at AwesomeCon this year. Mm-hmm. So can't wait for that.
I've seen like the Sanctum Sanctorum, that is the TVGWT studio.
Yeah, that's true. She's been in the studio. She's seen Karen's vibrating toothbrush. She's like had the whole tour, the whole shebang, guys. Okay.
Yeah, I told her, I said, baby, we definitely love you because everybody don't come up in here.
Mm-hmm. She's seen where the magic happens, guys. All right. Well, speaking of the magic, okay, this is the Black Autist Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic. Just leave us 5-star reviews. And if they're nice, we'll read them on the air. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
Extreme. Correct. No sponsor today. Just us hanging out, okay? It's late in the week, late in the month, and we just hanging out. And of course, you know, we review The Walking Dead today. I'm really trying not to do white people fucking with black people today, so I'm gonna just let it slide, okay?
We gonna let it slide.
We're getting to the end of the season. There's a lot to discuss.
It is.
You know, do white people really care? Probably not. Mm-mm. So let's just get right into it today. So this episode of The Walking Dead is episode 15 of the season. It's called Something They Need. You know, with the finale being next week, you know, things are starting to wrap up.
Right.
You know, ramp up, however you want to put it. Some of the plot lines of the season are starting to come to a head.
Right.
Karen, you know, we should start the way we always start, okay?
Yes.
What'd you think about this episode overall? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, I loved it.
Karen loved it. That's right. The Groundhog sees a shadow. 3 more weeks of winter, guys. What about you, Ashanti? What'd you think about this episode?
I wish I had more hands so I could give this episode 4 thumbs up.
4 thumbs up. Okay. And for me personally, I loved it as well, guys. I can't even front. You know what it is? It's like maybe 2 episodes before the last 3, I felt like, you know, things are getting stale in the relationship. You know, you start looking around at other people, you're like, what should I do? You know, your work husband starts looking kind of good. And then just the last 3 weeks, I feel like Walking Dead just came in the bedroom and handled business. And I was like, I don't even know what I was thinking. Walking Dead, I apologize. Everything is fine. Y'all really held it down this week. Cause I love this episode and I've loved the last 3, but I actually like this one the most of the last 3, which, you know, I didn't know that I would feel that way.
Yeah.
On the subject of work husbands, may I just give a shout out right quick to my colleague Eugene. I put him onto you guys, and he absolutely loves the Walking Dead recap shows. And literally, since I told him I would be recapping with you guys, he'd be like, "Okay, so when are you going? When does it come out?" He knows it comes out every Thursday.
What?
Before he left this afternoon, he was like,
Does Eugene have a mullet? Yes. I just need to know, does Eugene have a mullet?
No.
Oh, okay. I was hoping he would be at work like
older gentleman Eugene.
No Tennessee flat top. I see. This episode is also holding steady at that 10.5 million rating.
Right, that looks like that's gonna be the mark.
Yeah, like that's the new
standard
for now.
Right.
I guess to sum it up, there's 3 different locations: Hilltop, the Savior's Sanctuary, and of course, Oceanside. Mm-hmm. So we find the crew finally goes back to Oceanside to get them guns. And then Negan has captured Sasha. So we found out her, you know, a lot of her fate, what she's going through. And then, in Hilltop, Maggie's dealing with Gregory as he, gets cupped. I guess, he is the worst. This is correct. I guess we can start, cause I've really broken it down by location.
Okay.
That's right, guys. I do the extra work. Okay, guys. All right. The mother shows, They're not pulling these all nighters like your boy. Okay, I got y'all. I guess we can start with the locations, and I think probably best to start with Hilltop because I feel like it was the shortest and the least amount of shit happened in Hilltop. So let's start with that. Then we'll go to the Sanctuary, and then we'll go to Oceanside. I think that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that's about the order.
All right, so Hilltop. Maggie was hanging out with this new dude with a, look like a Latino dude with a man bun.
I don't know what was happening there.
Named Eduardo. I caught his name on the closed caption. You know, one of the things I've noticed now in the last like 4 to 6 episodes, they're starting to sprinkle in diversity all throughout the cast.
Yeah, a lot of brown people popping up.
Like,
listen, when the Muslim homegirl, she showed up talking about those weevils. Mm-hmm. Man, listen.
Yes, my girl Nabila,
cutest little thing,
just showed up.
Adorable,
right? And she was looking like, but for real, that's a tiger there. And I said, that's the realest thing. That's why you need some black people on your show, because I feel like that was an acting choice. I feel like they said, yeah, you're gonna go out here, you're gonna tell King Ezekiel that the weevils have gotten into the crops, and she's like, he's gonna have an imaginary tiger back there. Yep. Well, wouldn't I be scared? Oh yes, go with that. That's yes. Why haven't we had anybody be scared of this fucking tiger? It is a tiger. That does make sense. So then they got Jerry, of course, but like the Asian dude, I can't remember. I want to say his name is Cal or something, but he's like the right hand man of Gregory now. It's just, you know, Eduardo, who just like, you know, hanging out, looking like a Gap model, but doing crop.
We would survive. That's the thing. I think a lot of times when you have this shit, it's like, no, black people survived. I understand we're less of the population, but we would have survived.
See, my thing is that black people have been on this show. There's been a lot of black people on this show, to be honest.
Yes, it has.
Probably overrepresented, to be honest, on this show. But as far as like other races though, it hasn't been that It hasn't been that much.
Not that much of a diversity.
Yeah. So, I feel like they're starting
I'm looking for the Native American next.
Yeah, I just feel like they're starting to step up, though, have people in there. So, they got to catch them all, I guess.
You need to get some Desi's in here.
Get some who in? Desi's? Yes. Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, like, yeah. That's the other thing. It makes sense that more will be showing up in the later seasons because we will wait out white people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to wait them out a few. Are they trying to do some crops? Okay, all right, cool. I'm going to come through now. I'm not going to come
they need to start calling up Bollywood. Listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get Shah Rukh Khan to come in here.
I'm glad that they haven't gone like the complete racist angle since season one when they had like the Latino gangster. That's the only time they really went racist with it where I was like, oh, I don't, this doesn't feel right. But it would be funny now if they tried to do some pull, like they would catch hell now if they just went to like, and it's a whole Asian community, people would be like, oh, this feels racist. But yeah, they haven't tried anything like that since season one, which apparently everybody loved back then. But I mean, you know, if that shit happened today, everybody would have been like, this show is so problematic.
Mm-hmm. Just like Game of Thrones, everybody loves it now. Mm-hmm. But you know, them first season, there's a lot of shit that happened and people let slide.
All right, so yeah, in Hilltop, she's teaching Eduardo how to handle these crops,
and she's like, some crop husbandry.
Mm-hmm. Eduardo is like, so you want me to put a tarp over these plants? She's like, why would we do that? And he's like, I don't know. Are you the farmer? And she's like, all right, well, we do this and we freeze out these weeds and the weeds will end up dying faster than the plants. And then we take it back off. And now we've just basically de-weeded the garden without having to try. And I like this with Maggie. One, obviously she's got this leadership, skill, which, you know, I actually like, and I really do buy, it doesn't feel to me like it's not earned. I feel like Maggie in a lot of ways is a survivor on a level that a lot of people aren't.
Correct.
By which I mean she's watched everyone she loved die.
Everybody, dog.
And she's still finding some, not like a way to go on. And she didn't like lose her shit. Not that that wouldn't have been understandable, but she never lost her shit to the point. Like, she grieved, but she never went like, I'm gonna sleep on a bed of zombies, or
right,
I'm never killing people again. You know, I eat people now. Like, she just never lost it all the way. She's been, she's like kept her shit together in a way that I really feel like it sort of like lends itself to being a leader.
Yes, and also,
go ahead, Ashanti.
Oh, I was gonna say, but on the downside, I guess she overcompensated because she loved Glenn so much, she put everyone else in goddamn danger on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
So it was like incredibly selfish. So a lot of these characters have had those selfish moments for, you know, for some period of time. And I think hers just manifested that way, with, you know, saying to her, ruin everybody else, I'm going to go find my man.
So unless she falls in love again, I feel like we're safe. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like her weakness was chasing after Glenn. And now that nigga's not around, I like her again. Like, her and Glenn were risking everyone's safety to get to each other, not a fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't
have. Yeah, they needed to go. One of them. I was literally, from that whole season on the train tracks, I was ready for one of them to die.
I think the most annoying part of that, for me, with that was like, but ain't your sister missing? You know, for like, I was like, wouldn't that be the person you were like, I gotta get to this person? But anyway, so so she's teaching him how to farm, and she's like, and I'm about to go outside the gate because there's a blueberry bush that I saw, and I want to dig it up and bring it in here because blueberry bushes can live for like 40 years. So we need to start thinking long term, not just surviving day to day. We need to start thinking about, you know, the future for our kids and shit. She's pregnant. That kind of makes sense to me that she might be thinking more, less about what are we doing today and more about what are we doing long term.
Yes.
Compared to other people.
And I think for me, when it comes to Maggie, particularly people who've watched like from the beginning to now, because her and her family didn't actually join until like season 2.
Right.
And so a lot of her knowledge and her wisdom is, I guess, a subtle shout out to her daddy. You know, from being on the farm, because see, these people don't know this about her, so to them this is new knowledge. But if you've been following the character, you're like, of course she would know something like that, because she's been farming with her daddy for years in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I think also,
thank God she's a country girl.
Wait, say that again, Ashanti. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said thank God she's a country girl.
Oh yeah. And the thing also I like about her is that I feel like the experiences with the other people do resonate with her, as in she sounds like Glenn sometimes.
Yeah.
And she sounds like Herschel sometimes, you know, and she doesn't really sound like her sister ever. So maybe that's why she didn't go get her. I don't know. But you can kind of tell people had impacts and effects on her life. Yeah. And she used those things to carry on their legacies and to be stronger, with or without them. And that is dope.
And I think too, because of kind of all the things she's been through, like you said, she picked up a little bit of everything. And I think that the caring of the people, she definitely picked that up from Glenn, because Glenn actually was the heart of the group prior to him dying. And kind of the leadership, I would say more from Herschel, because he kind of had that older wisdom, and it's one of those things that you can tell she carried with her. And just that point of talking from a place of authority versus a different place.
Yeah, I don't feel like Herschel was necessarily the strongest leader, but I just feel like he was wise. I think,
right, that's the better word.
I think she's very wise. Correct. You know what I mean, in her own way. And it makes sense that people listen to her and lead, and especially in Hilltop, where there's a huge leadership vacuum. Like, I don't feel like she would necessarily be leading Alexandria. Mm-mm. With Rick around and shit. I feel like those personalities would clash.
Of course.
But with a weak ass nigga like Gregory around, of course people gravitate towards her. They're like, we don't want this dude.
Oh, it's just slammed. And they're looking like dog, when the zombies came, you was out here praying it all, running over niggas with tractors. He was up there locked up in the house peeking at the window.
Right. And it's not lost on me that she has this risky pregnancy. Like, she has whatever that thing with her placenta going on. She's supposed to be resting. I think it's kind of like, I still feel the way that I felt about this when she was out on patrol pregnant, where I'm like, I understand girl power, woman power, you can do anything, but also, you know, being pregnant is a medical condition, pretty much, like, and a risky pregnancy at that, in the Z-pot with no doctor. It's almost like every scene I see with her, I'm like, girl, just sit down, just rest, kick your feet up. You already leading everybody, just tell them what to do. They're gonna want to do it for you. But she, I think she just is a hands-on person. She can't possibly see herself not doing things that she feels she's capable of doing.
You know what? Cass always brings up a good point. Mm-hmm. Where is Judith? And why isn't Judith with Maggie?
Yeah. I feel like,
oh my gosh.
I feel like I have no idea who's watching Judith, and we'll get to it in when we get when we get to the Oceanside part, because I don't know who's left to be watching her.
Seriously,
like who didn't go?
Crap, who didn't go?
Right, like it has to be one of them like extras. It has to be an extra somewhere that's just like, you guys remember me, the black guy from episode 3 of season 5? It's me, bald head man. I'm just taking care of this baby. Don't worry about not remembering my name. I'm nobody.
And you would think that the two safest places for her to be is either long shot, but with Daryl at the kingdom, or sorry, Carol at the kingdom, or Maggie at Hilltop. What the hell is Rick thinking?
I don't, you know, I wouldn't mind.
Baby. It's not his anyway, so I guess.
Yeah, I guess he like, that ain't my baby. I just paid the child support.
I'm just a baby daddy. I'm doing this out of obligations.
They should have Morgan watching her. Give him something to do.
Ain't that the truth?
You know he wouldn't harm
Morgan trained to be a killer again.
He wouldn't train. Yeah, he just.
Morgan wouldn't harm a baby.
No, he just put a stick in her hand and
yeah,
he'd
teach her how to. She come back
there little
right. Other kids be fucking with her. She be tearing them up with that stick. Why are you beating the hell out of everybody, girl?
You're 4 years old doing like wax on, wax off the karate training.
So then Maggie goes out to do the bush, and Gregory walks up on her while she's digging the bush out and asks her, "What about your emails?" You know, I understand you call black people super predators in season 2, and
they ain't forgave you.
You know, I feel like you know I'm much better with the blacks than you are. And Maggie, my favorite thing about this is when he walked up, Maggie basically looked over her shoulder seeing him and was basically like, "What are you doing outside of the walls, you weak ass bitch?" Like,
you're asking me what am I? I'm fine. I can protect myself.
Like, the weak ass bitch was implied, but it was so much shade in this scene where it was said in such a pleasant, smiling manner, but it was the most shadiest of shade because it was like, you outside? Damn. You know, like.
Look at you
right.
Taking these
risks. Right. Look at. Apparently somebody got the testicles dropped today, you know.
Oh Lord.
She was saying it's so funny. And then he shot back, "Where are your friends? You out here all alone now, cause Rosita's gone, Sasha's gone. We saw in the opening montage, Enid's gone. She's with Rick and them."
Yeah, when he hit her up.
I'm sorry. And Jesus is gone. Go ahead.
Right. And when he hit her up on the low, this is what I heard. He was like, "Why ain't you gone with your little friends, bitch? What you still doing here?"
Yeah.
That, you know, that's
what
I heard.
Well, they were both politely talking shit to each other.
Yes.
Cause it was, "Oh, you outside the walls, coward." And he was like, don't get too fresh. You ain't got no friends here now. Like, I'll fuck you up.
It was a masterclass in white people shade.
Yes. It was like every single time you've ever been pulled into an office and you thought it was a good meeting, but it wasn't a good meeting. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
I'm like, "Oh, we're just gonna have your work reviewed for the next few days. Just wanna make sure everything's up to shape here, and we're thinking you're doing a kick ass job. I mean, it's not, don't worry about that." And then like 2 days later, you get like green, your pink slip, and like, "Wait a minute. They was firing me." You know, is that kind of conversation?
You got to know the keyword.
Right. So, then, he's like, "Look, Why you gotta be so divisive? Okay, you come up here with your politics and your courage and you're fighting back and all this bullshit. And you know, I mean you got me outside the walls. I came out here to talk to you on good faith. I normally only come outside the walls because if I want greenery, I have a salad. That's what the walls are for, blah blah blah. And she was like, well, if you serious about wanting us to work together, because she basically was like, the reason I'm divisive is because we are divided, you're not with us. Mm-mm. And he was like, well, we should have a united front. And you know, she's like, well, if you mean it, I'll come out of your office and we'll talk about it later. And he was like, all right, well, I'm gonna head back in. And then they heard a branch snap and they both kind of stopped. And I think she realized at that point, I'm out here by myself, pregnant woman, digging up a fucking bush. Mm-hmm. Greg, why don't you watch my back? And this motherfucker pulled out like the smallest knife. It like a fucking paring knife. It like the knife. If you work at a company where y'all have ever gotten the Christmas cheese sampler pack, yes, it looked like that shit. Like that little knife that don't cut anything but cheese.
Yeah.
The fuck you gonna do with this little shit, Greg?
I don't know, but he looked at her and said, you know what? With the health care, I'm gonna go ahead and help get rid of this preconditioned disease you got right here real quick.
The pregnancy.
Yep.
Yeah, he, well, my favorite part about this is that she asked him to stand guard, and I think we all as artists had the same thought was, this nigga gonna try to stab her in the back or some shit.
That's what I thought.
And he clearly mm-hmm. thinks about it.
He does.
Clearly. Like, he think long and hard. Like,
he struggles.
I should stab this bitch in her back.
And he was like, when the rest of them come back, I'm gonna have to deal with them.
How am I explain this? Like, but he went through he went through it. Then he stepped back, literally stepped back and shook his head, like, to shake the thoughts out. Like, oh, no, no, I can't be killing this woman. This is crazy. So I'm glad that he had a level of either cowardice or humanity, you guys pick, but he decided not to go through with
one
it.
Of them.
Right? He decides not to do it. And then a zombie comes out of the woods, and this motherfucker was like, whenever somebody that's not like really good at fishing or whatever, they can't fish, whenever they get a bite, sometimes like they'll get overly excited when it's not like you scare away the fish yelling and shit.
That's mean. That's why I'm terrible at fishing.
Right. Well, he sees the zombie. He's like, oh, got one. And I was like, why are you so fucking, calm down, buddy. This is your first zombie. What the fuck, dude? They're everywhere. Stop yelling. And he's like, oh, we got one. And then she's like, okay, I'll take care of it. And she's like dusting off, you know, getting up from the plant. And he's like, nope, nope, nope. I came out here to protect the pregnant lady. Don't need the pregnant lady to protect me. I'm like, that, you know, that's not why you came out here. Mm-mm. You know, you didn't come out here for that. But
he's stuck out there like Paul Ryan trying to save his career.
Right. he tried to make it seem like he was coming out there to be brave. So then he's like, nope, nope. I got it. I got it. And then he ran up on the walker and, realized that he was scared. Like he
was like, I don't got it.
Yeah, he said, oh, well, you do it then. Like he tried, like he was doing her a favor, like, oh, you want to kill her so bad, good luck. But then she basically was like,
you
move out.
Remember her name though, finally.
Say, yeah, oh, I'm sorry, say
again.
Remember
her name. He said her name.
Oh, right. Yeah, he ain't fucked up her name in weeks though, right. Like low key. Yeah, that's why.
Oh, really?
I think he was doing it on purpose. Cause ever since she basically got her people in formation in Hilltop, he ain't had time to disrespect that way. He been trying to find different ways. So then she was like, moved in. I got it, Greg. And then she goes and stab one in the head. And then some other walker came out of nowhere.
Cause he wasn't paying attention.
Convenient zombie. And, they hunted him like fucking like animals hunt in the wild. Like, he was looking at one zombie and then another zombie just hopped out like, I'm here too. And he immediately got scared, fell to the ground.
With that paring knife in his hands.
Right. Like he was gonna slice some pears and fucking, the zombie was on top of him and shit. And he was like, my favorite line of the night, probably. He goes, Maggie, help, please help me. Like, he yelled that so clearly, and so he's just such a cuck.
Shit get real.
He's such a cuck. Yeah, and so Maggie efficiently stabs her walk in the head, walks over, stabs his in the head, the blood gets on his suit, and then he gets up and he got blood on him, and he looked clearly shaken up by it, and then like out of a fucking high school movie, four people walk by. I might as well have been the football team and the cheerleaders walk by, and they see Gregory, and they're like, damn, dog, you alright? Cause clearly they just watched him get emasculated. And a pregnant woman had to kill the zombie for him. And she's like, and Maggie goes, oh, he's okay. It's his first time, killing a zombie. He's learning. And then,
oh, that was fake.
And then they were like, that's not what he told us. And then they start walking off. Right. Yeah. Old bitch ass Greg. I know they call him that behind his back.
You know what they do.
Old bitch ass Greg talking about killing zombies. It makes me wonder what lie he was like. Oh yeah, I killed plenty of zombies. Oh, let me tell you.
You know.
They used to call me zombie killing Greg. The zombie kid. That's what they used to call me. I killed so many zombies. Woo.
I don't think they would ever do it, but I wouldn't mind maybe like a quarter or maybe a half of an episode dedicated to his background.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't mind a 5-minute.
Yeah, just something quick.
Like that Enid montage where we find out that Gregory has been in that house from the day the Z-Pac broke out and he just never left. People started thinking he was in charge, so he just kept acting like it. I'd watch that 5-minute montage.
Me too. Say that again, Ashanti.
Oh, I was going to say, throw a webisode up.
Yeah, I'd watch a webisode of that shit. I'd watch that.
But you know, I guarantee it wouldn't surprise me if that's what really happened.
Yeah, oh, whatever it is wouldn't take long to tell. The motherfucker obviously a coward.
Isn't that technically a governor's mansion, the house that he's in?
Yeah, and it was something like it used to be like a museum or exhibit or something.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he was the tour guide or some shit and he just lucked into this.
And just never left. The zombies just never came that far in.
Yeah, yeah. Like, your motherfucker just opened a closet full of the same suit. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to stay here.
I'm going to stay here.
Listen, none of his suits are frayed. There's no, like, dirt around the collar. Like, how is he getting his shit dry cleaned in the Z-Pac?
By never going outside.
All right. The sun don't even hit it.
Yeah. He, like, if I figured out how to keep my shit fresh, I sit in this desk all day and I never do anything. And my suit just stays fresh. I'm just going to do this every day.
Mm-hmm. Keep the original crease in it.
I let it air dry for what I'm doing. I'm doing nothing.
Oh, correct.
After he gets obviously punked in front of everybody, he feels terrible. And he goes into his office and starts bringing...
He was embarrassed.
Hmm?
Actually, you could tell he was mad and embarrassed.
Yeah. He goes in his office and looks in the mirror. And he sees the blood on his face and on his suit. And then he pours himself a shot of tequila. And then he pulls out a map of Virginia. And he pulls out the sheet of paper that I believe is the sheet of paper that Simon gave him.
Mm-hmm.
Last week when Simon was like, if you ever have any problems, just come see me. And no funny business and all that shit.
Yeah, he gonna get there. He gonna be like, I don't even drink tequila no more.
I know. He gonna get there.
I like margaritas.
What? Right. You ain't got no slit smart liquor, boo. Oh, no.
I think he changes up just a fuck with him.
I'm a curious animal. But yeah, he says, he looks at the map, and then he calls out to, his Asian slave dude, Cal. All
right.
Who, I don't know where this dude came from and why he's so loyal to Gregory. I don't know. But he calls out to this dude and
you know what? He gets to live in there with him. Like, it gotta be a bonus, but he don't live out there with everybody else.
I have no idea. I just wish, I don't know. He never has talking lines.
Nope. But he just show up.
He just opens the door and be like, yes, Gregory? That's his old line every week.
Yes.
But Greg was like, we're going on a trip and pack a bag. So I'm assuming they're leaving the compound. One, Gregory can't even leave the compound by himself. No survival skills.
Right. So he couldn't
really
just
shit talk right now.
Right.
Right. Everybody else just packing bags and hoofing it by foot. And he's like, nope, fuck it. I'm going to drive in a limousine.
Yeah, however far.
No. I was just saying that I had like a real ink shit thought.
Oh.
Like, about those two.
Oh, you think maybe, he took the deal that Maggie and Sasha turned down. And.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that maybe those two were lovers, but.
know? Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, because you know, he offered Sasha and Maggie on some like, well, maybe we can come up to my room and figure some things out. I mean, we don't know how Greg gets down the bedroom. Maybe he asked Cal, and Cal was finally he got to somebody that was like, well, shit then, dog. Pass that tequila. Let's do this. I don't know.
You mean tell me I ain't got to be out there with everybody else?
Yeah. So yeah, he, by the way, he would be the worst person to go to for protection in CPOC. I couldn't see myself doing anything for that dude. So yeah, they go to, so he basically tells him.
I'm about to say something racist, unless he know
Kung Fu. Oh, no, okay, no, don't. Oh, you didn't have to say anything racist. You literally didn't have to say anything racist. You knew it was racist. And you went ahead and went with it anyway. For what?
Should have went with the blowjobs, Karen.
I know you're going to watch, yeah, I know you're going to definitely be watching.
If it's not karate, definitely the BJ.
Some love me long time. I know what you're trying to say.
Oh, damn it.
Y'all so racist.
Now that meeting makes my joke worse.
Y'all so racist, man. Can't believe y'all would come on my show and spread this schism around.
I mean,
I don't agree with none of these jokes.
I mean, jokes is jokes. I mean, why else did he pick the one Asian dude that's probably in the whole compound?
Now that would be funny if he thought he knew Kung Fu because he was racist. That would be funny. But you really think he might know Kung Fu because you racist? Now that's not funny. That's just plain racism, Karen.
That's even better.
Ladies,
you were thinking it too.
No, I wasn't. I absolutely was not thinking it.
You just didn't jump off the bridge with us.
I was not that. Don't you ain't bringing me down with that evil Ricky Bobby.
Karen, I just recently received my naturalization to hell. So now that I'm an official citizen, I can talk to the devil. Put a good word for you. Interested?
Because she going to be there too.
America's looking pretty bleak.
Y'all going to both be in there.
It's always a party in hell.
I'm too saved up and prayed up to be dealing with y'all on this show today. In the sanctuary.
You too blessed to be stressed.
Y'all ain't gonna get me.
You gotta play the orange away.
Y'all problematic jokes. Y'all wonder why they writing about Dave Chappelle. Because of people like you. That's why they don't like Dave Chappelle no more.
That's why they don't like Dave Chappelle no more.
Anyway. before these two Iron Fist fans rudely interrupted me. You already got your tickets for Ghost in the Shell, Karen? You already got your tickets? In the sanctuary.
I'm be in the front row with my pink pussy hat on.
In the saints. In the, oh, God, we're never going to get this done.
You started it talking about that goddamn Ghost in the Shell.
Because you was the one being racist. You started it with racism. I didn't start any of this.
Come on, so calling them thugs, just call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
Just call them niggas then, Karen, if you want to be racist. Anyway.
Oh, my God, my chest.
Ashanti's sick, Karen.
I'm sorry.
This is what you're doing to her.
Die on air, my bad.
Oh my God.
As I was saying, in the sanctuary, Sasha is in a holding cell, which is funny because people were like, oh, she's dead. Remember someone wrote us last week and said she dead? And I was like, look, I know she want to go be on Star Trek. It's not going to happen that fast.
Not that fast. Like, walk around the corner and get shot.
If they gave a character that people know and love an off-screen death, people would be pissed as fuck.
Right. Because
you have to show how that person dies, even if you're going to kill them. So I had zero anticipation she would be dead.
Okay.
But I did think maybe we would get like a couple of minutes of her storming the compound before they locked her up. Nah. We just came back. She was in jail because this ain't an Impossible White Man TV show. And apparently you can't kill 75 people and kill Negan by yourself.
No, you can't.
Interesting. John Wick would have got it done though. I'm just saying.
All headshots.
That's how I would actually end a season. If I see, that's why I can never direct TV. I would literally just have somebody go John Wick in an episode and people would be like, what the fuck was that? That'd be the season finale. Like, and I'm done. I'm not explaining shit. Rick went complete John Wick
crazy.
We wrote him in a possible situation. He delivered 37 headshots and killed Negan, and there was no war. People would be like, man, fuck this show. Anyway.
And fuck you for writing.
Right. And I never do it again either. Like, that's the other thing. People right. like, oh, well, this week Rick will get him out. And I'd be like, no, nope, Rick's back to normal.
Yeah, we ever get rich enough to start our own production studio, boy, like, our idea's going to be flames.
So she's in the holding cell, and a dude comes in and asks if she's okay, and she's tied up and basically like unable to even stand. She's tied up. She asked him for some water, and the dude was like, can I offer you some dick with that water?
No. And would you like some semen in your water? No, sir. I didn't ask for a side of semen.
But he was basically like, I could get you some. Do you remember me from last night? And she was like, no. And he was like, I was the guy with the rope. And rope could come in handy for a lot of things.
I like to do that BDSM, girl.
Worse than that. And then he said,
my bad.
And then he was like, also, if I get you some water, I could get in trouble for that. So you gotta make it worth my while. So what you gonna do for this water? And she was like, not a goddamn thing, man. I'm not that thirsty then.
Right.
And then he was like, when she said no, he was like, let me rip your shirt open. And he was basically like, and he got close to her ear and was like, how thirsty are you?
I was like, oh.
He was the creepiest motherfucker.
And that's the same creepy ass motherfucker that did that thing with Enid with them
with balloons. Enid?
Enid. Why I keep calling her Enid?
I don't know, because no one's ever been named Enid.
Enid. Enid with the balloons.
But yeah, so that is the same dude?
If I'm not mistaken, I thought it was.
I don't know.
I've seen him being creepy before. Okay. But shit, all them creepy dudes look the same. My bad.
Yeah, I not to be racist, all white people look the same to me. I could not tell if
he
that
was
dude.
White and creepy.
Was supposed to be the guy that, you know, because there's multiple dudes that's been creepy towards Enid, right? There's the dude with the balloons. Then there's the dude with the, last week that was like, I don't know who you think I am.
Right.
Like, I don't even know if those are the same people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he basically leaned over real close to Sasha.
Ah!
You ain't shit.
I know. I mean, he really ain't shit. I didn't do it. Hey, how you doing, little mama? And Sasha headbutted the fuck out of this nigga.
What?
She headbutted this
like,
dude.
I'm gonna make this record skip. Boop.
Right. She was basically like, hell no.
We not having that type of party. Turn that music off.
Get your hands off of me.
Right.
And then he was like, as a true Pepe Le Pew fan, he was like, oh, fighting just gonna make it last longer. Which for the record is fine by me. He starts trying to undo his belt. And I, you know, I'm cringing because I'm like, man, this is one of those shows where I feel like they understood, like in the comic book where they had like sexual assault and shit, they knew like, oh, we can't be doing that. Mm-mm. Like, and I think even if they go back in time, I bet Robert Kirkman would actually not put that in the comic book.
I bet you would.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I think that's him, that and cutting off Rick's hand in the comic, I think are probably his two biggest regrets with that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, dude is basically, you know, about to just try to Nate Parker the situation, and Negan rolls up and hits his bat up against the door, and he's like, oh, what do we have here?
Ah!
He's like, you know, rape is against the rules. And I wouldn't want to be somewhere where if someone was in charge and they let that kind of something like that fly. And the dude was like, I was, you know,
he looked like he pissed himself.
My favorite thing is that Negan's first question was like, were you trying to rape that woman? And Buddy was like, I was just, he was like, I know what you was trying to do. Like, that's a rhetorical question, dumbass. We find out that this dude's name is Dave. You know, it goes back to something I've been saying. Negan is the only one that keeps this dude these dudes in line.
Yeah, them crazy dude. Yeah.
He's the only one,
yeah,
man.
He's definitely a totalitarian. Like, perfect dictator.
Right. Like, does he have problems? Of course he has problems. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to live there, clearly. If I had a choice of where I could, which community to stay in, I wouldn't want to stay in his face burning, get your head beat in with a badass community. But for the record, those dudes that live there seem like fucking savages, and the only thing stopping them is that they're so scared of Negan that they'll actually fall in line and be like, okay, I'm not gonna do this shit. Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah, like Negan is like so good that he literally makes himself omnipresent. So mm-hmm. you know the consequences if you do something fucked up. If you break one of his rules, like, you can go out and do whatever you want, you know mm-hmm. be savage if you want to, but as soon as you bump up against him, he'll take you out. He doesn't give a fuck,
right?
And so like, he will essentially, that type of fear just makes people kind of self-police, like,
yeah, because somebody gonna tell.
They just won't do it.
Because somebody's gonna tell, because all of them are Negan.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. all Negan. And it's one of these things where he's like, hey, now I know my wives, who I have sex with, is here by choice. Mm. But, yeah, technically, I do rape them. But, as far as you concerned, you got an unwilling victim. So I'm not gonna stand for this bullshit.
Yeah, Negan's definitely a guy who's very particular about what kind of rape he allows. Because I wouldn't call forced bartering for sex to necessarily be consensual. But at the same, but at the same time, he, like, it's that thing where he has made logic in his mind of, well, look, any woman could get out here, get a gun, and, you know, fill a position. You don't have to be my wife. Because they have several women in the compound that are right. Basically like, I got a gun, I kill motherfuckers, I do whatever the fuck we got to do. He's basically like, everybody in here got to be earning in some kind of way. And if you really just don't, like, you can't think of nothing else to do, you can come have sex with me. That's it.
Dude, Negan must have been like a talent scout for Barbizon before the Z-Pac.
Mm-hmm. Yep, like, so it's like in his mind, he has a logic to it, but what he doesn't like is jump out the bushes type of raping. He don't like that.
Yeah, he go, I don't do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he's like, I'm not cool with that on any level.
Mm-mm. No surprising.
So of course, Dave apologizes, because he clearly was wrong. Mm-hmm. And then Negan pulls out a knife and stabs that nigga through his throat.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, you thought he was going to talk to him, talk it out.
I don't know what I thought, but I didn't see the knife through throw. I thought it was going to be a cross. I knew that was going to be through.
I think
slid into his gullet.
I think for Negan, his mind works in a very, like, listen, I have rules. Now, there's people that aren't under my purview. Like, they're not under my leadership or my command yet. So if they break my rules, I don't necessarily come down them on them as hard as I come down on my own people for breaking my rules.
Yeah.
Because literally, Sasha tried to kill him last night. And he seems way less pissed off about that than the fact that Dave knows the rules. And old Dave just can't stop himself from trying to rape people. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I gotta kill Dave. This is ridiculous.
I gotta set an example.
So he stabs him through the throat. Dave dies, falls down into the cell that Sasha is in. Then he says somebody needs to get Sasha a new t-shirt. Then he cuts Sasha loose from her ropes, the ropes that Dave provided. And then he basically offers her kind of like the same thing. She's bucked up against him. This guy's, in my opinion, weakness, some maybe people see it as a strength. His one weakness is when people buck up against him, he always, like, bends over backwards to, like, offer them to try to break them, to offer them something to get them to come work for him. He's one of those guys that loves a rival, like someone that's just like, fuck you. He's like, oh, really? Okay, this person's interesting. You know, people that fall in line, not necessarily as interesting to him.
Right.
As people who don't.
Like I said, he's a talent scout. If he's mm-hmm. something, if he sees something in you that is useful to him, he'll groom you.
Essentially,
like he's the perfect, he's a headhunter.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
and I didn't realize this until later on that I think Nina pointed out Project Family. It's the same knife that he killed Spencer with.
Oh yeah, that's his people killing knife. Right. You know, when he kills a white man, mm-hmm. he likes to do it in the same fashion every time.
The same way.
So then he starts talking to Sasha.
Ah!
Wow.
Ever since I was 13, my biggest problem has been just to find the right road to get to that rainbow that everybody talks about. You know, like most people get close enough to count the stripes, but they don't have enough guts to reach out and take that pot of gold.
And what are you going to do?
I'm going to walk off with the whole pot.
You going to share that with anyone?
Yeah, he starts recruiting her, and he praises her beach ball size lady nuts, mm-hmm. and says that he wants her to basically come work with him. And he said the only thing is he wants to know if Rick put her up to trying to kill him. And she says, "Oh, you mean your bitch?" And he was like, "Okay, so it definitely wasn't Rick."
Right, that let me know that Rick ain't had nothing to do with this one.
It also lets you know, like, you know, whether Sasha was playing an angle or not in this situation. I feel like she really do think Rick is her bitch, is his bitch.
I think
part of the reason she thinks that is also because she's not privy to the plan necessarily.
Mm-mm. Been out the loop.
Yeah, and that's why she joined up with Rosita so easily. Because right. Rosita basically showed up, was like, "I need your help." And she was like, "Well, okay, so what is it? Rick ain't. She was like, Rosita was like, "Rick got guns and they still not going." And she was like, she had a look on her face almost like, "I knew it. Like that bitch ass nigga, we gonna do it ourselves." And I think that was real when she said he was a Negan's bitch. And so Negan was like, "Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you a knife. The same knife that I just used to kill this dude. And you can either kill yourself, you can try to kill me right now, but I got this baseball bat and I got the higher ground."
Right.
He says, "Or you can let zombie rapey Davy eat your face off," which would just be weird. I don't understand that, but
right.
"Or you can kill zombie rapey Davy and save yourself and join my cause." Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, when he left her along with that knife, I wasn't sure which one she was gonna do.
Me either.
Yeah, I was literally like, yeah. It could probably be all of these, including the zombie eating her face, because Sasha had a moment where she used to be crazy as fuck, and I'll never forget.
And she wanted to kill herself, like she purposely would do shit to get herself killed.
Mm-hmm.
So then Eugene comes in later, and he's got her a blanket and a pillow and some water.
Right.
And
because everybody else like, "I'm not taking my ass in there."
Sasha's first
walked in, and you know, all you could hear was, "We're on Easy Street."
Yeah. Like he should have knocked on the door with that da 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 on Easy Street. What's going on, Sasha? So he walks up in there and he's got the pillow and stuff, and Ashanti said the funniest thing on Twitter, that why did they give her a pillow when she had a zombie in there she could have slept on? Because you know,
she was sleeping on them.
She loved that zombie postopedic.
Yeah, come on. Not the best for your back.
Mm-hmm.
Meat number bed.
Mm-hmm. So she, she basically asked, you know, Eugene the question we all would ask if that happened to us. "The fuck happened with you, dog? Like you over here in a nice new coat and everything. What the fuck is the deal?" Yeah, say, "What did they do to you?" And Eugene says, "They're keeping me safe.
He kept it real.
I bought you some creature comforts. Full disclosure, the pillow is not hyperallergenic. And then she was like, "Look, you look like," she just looked at him like he was crazy. And she said basically, I guess the way she was looking at him, he was like, "If you take me hostage, they already told me I'm on my own. So like, don't even take me hostage, cause I for sure will just like, they won't come save me. We'll just be in here together."
Right. They told me you killed me. I'm on my own. And he said, locked the door behind him too. So he was trapped in there.
Right. So most importantly, he told her that, she need to pick Negan and join. Cause that was that was a smart move. That's what he did. And she was like, and he was like, you know, cause the last time she really saw him, was before she went to Hilltop. Cause remember, she didn't go back to Alexandria.
No, she didn't.
So the last time she saw Eugene was when Abraham and, Glenn got their heads bashed in.
Right.
And if you look at the moments before then, he had picked to sacrifice himself to drive off in the RV, mm-hmm. going the wrong way. And then, they knew that, you know, eventually the saviors would catch up with him. And for all intents and purposes, he volunteered to die.
Yes, he did.
You know, to impress Abe, because Abe was this brave man and he always had almost like a sibling rivalry with Abe, where I think mm-hmm. he made, by almost competing and trying to prove himself to Abe, he made himself into the man he wanted to be in some ways. But he said riding off in that RV was some of the greatest 37 minutes of my entire life. But then when he came back and had to witness the bravest man he ever knew dying in his face,
right,
and you know, sitting in the woods on his knees hoping it wasn't him next, he said that was the most terrifying thing he ever experienced. And being a savior means he don't gotta go through that shit again, because he ain't built for them bodies. And then he also said Abe would want her to accept Negan's offer. And she looked at him like, Negan, are you serious?
She was like, you a goddamn liar.
Right. Her eyes, listen, her eye acted in this scene. It's, yeah, her eyes basically was like, nigga, if you, I still have a knife.
And she looked at him like Maxine Waters looking at Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Right. And then he was like, well, okay, I want you to stay or whatever. And, she was, you know, he was like, you know, just think about it and all this shit. And I just got to say, guys, I told y'all Eugene wasn't playing no angle.
No.
Y'all gonna get enough of believing in these white men. It's Trump's America now, okay? You gotta stop. When a white man start acting flaky, you just gotta accept that person is gone. Okay? Cause I don't understand what the angle was gonna be. People been talking about all this MacGyver ass shit he can do. He ain't doing none of that. He chilling. He thinks he's on the winning side. He thinks he's on the winning team.
He is on Easy Street and he is staying his ass there.
Right. He's basically like everybody that became a Warriors fan last year. Okay? He thinks he got it made. What do you got to do? Just join the bandwagon and don't say shit. Uh-oh, LeBron's coming through. Now you look stupid. But unless LeBron has an MVP finals, Eugene's winning with Negan and them. He gonna ride this to these 73 wins and be fine. Anyway, so Eugene leaves and he does note that David's gonna turn. And you see David start to turn. It does look pretty bad. Sasha kills the walker and the rapey Davy, and it's we don't see her do it. Negan walks in the door and that's when we see it happen. Yeah. I mean, we see that she's killed it.
Yeah, and also she tells Eugene to get out. Like she get out. Like you need to actually leave before I actually take this. She looked like I might actually take this knife and kill you and do whatever else I plan on doing. You need to get up out of here, dog.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, makes sense, though.
Like something like, I know you're not going to help me or something.
Yeah.
She said something that was kind of slick, too, and it just slipped my mind. I was like, ooh, that was like some shade. Oh, it's killing me that I can't remember what she said.
Eugene was ready to go. I think he was like, I'm lucky I didn't get stabbed.
Right, because they already told me I was on my own.
Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, that was the bravest thing he did all day, was go up in there with her. And so then, okay, so Negan comes through, and he's like, I see you killed a zombie. And she's like, you won. And he says, no, we won. It's a win-win. Basically, this way I know, you know, you want to live. And he says, you win. This is a big step here. He takes his knife back because he's no dummy. Can't let her have that big ass Rambo knife. In case she changes her mind. He says, we're going to start showing you some of the positives around here. We're going to set you up in a room, let you stay, you know, in a nicer place overnight. So you can see like some of the things that we do. Here or whatever, get you more comfortable. He says, also a little birdie told me that Rick and your people are up to no good. So somebody snitching.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody snitching. I don't know who's snitching.
Yeah, it's bitch ass Gregory.
Oh, listen. My money is on Gregory. Cause I feel like,
you know, he set the Raven as soon as he got to his desk and poured himself a drink.
Because he's been in a position to see everything just about where they've colluded with somebody. He doesn't know everything, but he knows that, like, when he Rick and them... Enough. Right. Like, remember the season, mid-season finale. They met at Hilltop.
Yes, they did.
Daryl, Jesus, all of them. I don't know how much detail he's giving exactly. What?
He don't want no problem, so he giving just enough.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, I don't know how much Negan knows and what he doesn't know, which is also a good thing for this show, because I do want to know, you know. Because I'm convinced certain things he can't know. Like, he must not know about the kingdom.
Because
I don't think the way that he deals with people, I don't think that he would have a place where he couldn't step a foot inside and they didn't raid it and he never killed anybody. I just couldn't see that happening.
That's just a lazy district manager that was like, I got to come out here. I don't want to drive the extra 15 miles. So y'all just meet me here, and as long as y'all do what y'all supposed to do and I ain't got no problem, you ain't got none.
Is it different in the graphic comics? Does Negan know about the kingdom in the comics?
I don't even think...
Or is this a departure?
I think in the comics, he doesn't even know about the kingdom.
Yeah, he don't even know they exist.
Yeah, and the other thing is, the reason I'm pretty sure the Negan doesn't know about it, they reacted like nobody had ever died before when Ben got killed. Like, their reaction to that was like... Because, see, the thing with Negan and that group is... even before the Saviors had even done anything to Alexandra or with Alexandra, their whole thing was, we're going to kill one of y'all just to start off. Like, they, like, you know, people, like, as much as we like to look back and be like, yeah, the group, you know, they were making mistakes, they were doing this, why didn't they try to work? Like, there was never going to be a time where you could work with somebody that comes, we're going to kill you and take all your shit. Like, it was never going to be a tenable situation. So I don't find Negan to be like this super reasonable guy, but I do think that there's a limit to what he can know in the zombie apocalypse with no internet, TV.
Right.
Communication. Have satellite stations.
Right. All these outposts.
Right.
So when you're as big as he is, and actually not trying to find, nobody really knows his reach as far as the area that they actually cover. And how many?
Yeah, see, I was just about to ask about that, because are there some of these networks were set up before he came to power, which is why he may not see the kingdom as being, important enough to warrant a personal visit from him?
My guess is that he just don't know. I think he delegates certain tasks out to people, tells them like this. Like, I bet you, like, for example, I mean, it's right there in the show. We know that Hilltop didn't know everything about the Saviors.
No, they
like
didn't.
They thought they were dealing with the Saviors, and they didn't even know what the fuck Negan looked like.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't know enough to fucking give Rick and them the right information on who to kill and how many to kill and where to go and shit.
How big it was.
Yeah, when everyone is Negan, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Right,
because Rick thought he had killed Negan. He was like, who are you? I am Negan.
Look at it this way. If the kingdom didn't know Rick and them, if they didn't get introduced to Jesus and all that shit, they would have straight up, like, the Saviors killed Ben. They go next week, kill them six dudes that keep showing up for drop-offs. Imagine the week after that when fucking Negan and them show up with like 700 dudes or whatever the fuck. Like, I can see how this is a brilliant way to squash it, but it also it keeps Negan out of the know. You know, like, he can't know everything. You got to trust somebody at some point to tell you the right information.
Yeah, all he knows is somebody say that, sorry, boss, we lost 8 people. What the fuck? And that's when he shows up.
Right.
He was like, you messing up productivity. Fuck it.
Alright, so... Negan basically, you know, offers her this room. Eugene comes by. Oh, and he says, tomorrow's gonna be a big day, which I don't know what that means, but that can't mean nothing good.
Nope.
Cause he knows that somebody's snitching, and he knows they up to no good. Who knows Man, I would lose my shit if he shows up to Alexandria and gets all them guns or something. Woo. Yeah, I would lose my shit. So then Eugene comes by Sasha's room, which she's clearly locked in, and he talks to her through the door. And she gives like this really, she's like this really sad, broken sounding like voice of like, look, I'm ready to die. I thought about it.
She turned into Hamlet.
Right.
Doing the to be or not to be.
Yeah.
That is the question.
Right. She was like, I'm ready to die. I want to kill myself. Can you bring me a knife or some glass or a gun or something?
And like, I can't do that, dog.
Eugene's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, Negan is going to do something and use me to hurt our friends. So you need to do this, cause I don't want to let him use me. And he's like, I'll consider it. And you never see her face or anything during this exchange the first time.
Right.
So then the second time he comes back and he's like, I got something for you. I got what you needed. And now we can see her face a little bit and she's smiling almost like, cool, I'm going to get me a knife or some kind of weapon. And, you know, at that point I'm like, well, maybe she didn't want to kill herself. Like, it didn't seem like the smile of, I can finally kill myself. Mm-mm. It felt like a smile like she was up to something. And so he's like, I bought you one of these pills that I made to poison, you know, that poison with poison. He didn't tell her this, but the pills that he made to poison Negan that he didn't give those women,
right.
He gave her one of those pills. Now we know that there's like a specific weight limit to this shit, mm-hmm. and it will actually take two pills to kill Negan. But he gave her one and, she was like sad. Like she looked super duper sad. Like this is not what I wanted. I wanted a weapon and this is not the kind of weapon I wanted because I don't think she really plans to kill herself.
Mm.
Yeah, the thing I got from that scene was she was hoping she would have a knife or something and use it as a weapon to either escape or to kill Negan or something other than fucking the pills to take his poison. I don't think she wants to kill herself.
She looked at that pill like she got some socks for Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, how your kids look at you when you give them a book of draws and a Merry Christmas. That mm-hmm. kids be looking like, this ain't the shit I really want.
So that's how it ends in the Savior Sanctuary. And then lastly, in Oceanside, which is, if you guys remember, Oceanside is the group of all women, probably, you know, the group that black men blame for Birth of a Nation not making enough money. We opened with some walkers that apparently had a shipwreck onto a beach, and these walkers must have been in there forever because they had some of the coolest special effects. It really would look like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, they look exactly like the pirates walking underwater in that first movie.
Yes, they had like barnacles growing out of them and seaweed in their mouths.
Stuck on the bottom of them ships.
I saw Barbossa.
Mm-hmm.
And Davy Jones' locker.
Johnny Depp was in the background, drunk, beating a woman. You know.
Oh.
Come on, guys. Oh. He's a method actor. Mm-hmm. And domestic violence is his method.
Me talking about karate was too far. Okay.
I sound like you just want to get back even. But I don't think you were actually offended by my joke.
Violence against women is more acceptable than racism.
In the words of Larry Wilmore, I ain't forgot, motherfucker. Okay. The rest of you people might have forgot, but I haven't. Oh wait, what happened? Did I lose everybody?
Mine said waiting on you to return.
Oh wait, did the internet go out?
I don't know. I still see me.
Okay, let me refresh. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened just now. That should come back up in a second. That is my fault, guys. I think I just hit the escape button by mistake. Okay, I see y'all.
Hey, Chris.
Alright, I should be back. Alright, cool. Sorry about that, guys. I accidentally hit the escape button, which is a button I never use for anything.
So you escaped the screen?
I escaped the screen, apparently. Now I know what that does in Crowdcast. Alright, so, Oceanside. Oh yeah, so we're back. We're at Oceanside. We see the barnacle walkers. Cool special effect. You know, like despite everything people say, I really do like some of the things they've done with walkers this year. Like, this has been a great year for this, coming up with shit we haven't seen yet. You know, from the walkers that fall, like half the bottom falls out the walker, to you know, the walkers that you know, the undersea walker, obviously the sand walkers on the bridge.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff, especially the ones
the
that
car,
right, that they chopped them hair. I think that was the neatest one that they've ever did in the whole series.
They've done some pretty cool shit with walkers this year, and they won't get enough credit for it, but they should.
They should, right.
All right, so yeah, they fucking see the barnacle walkers, and then they don't show you where they're going, but I mean, where else is there? And in his mind,
can you imagine the smell?
Oh God. Wants to smell like the ATL orgy up in there. It must have, fam.
Okay. Your description is better. I'm not gonna say what I was thinking.
Thank you. Cause it's probably racist.
Nah, this wasn't racist. I was just trying to say it smelled like booty, butt, cheeks, and feet.
Okay, well that's...
fish market.
There you guys go.
In Korea.
Mm-hmm.
On a hot day.
Must smell like Cat Stack's vagina up in there. Just
that's worse.
Okay. Anyway, so in this opening montage where we see these zombies, we also see that you know, Rick and that crew are heading up to Oceanside. We hear Tara confessing to Rick that what happened. I like the way this montage was done, by the way.
Because a lot of bullshit.
It told a lot of stuff at the same time.
Right.
You know, because and this is like my hang up with the show is sometimes because of how well they do shit when they want to just get in gear and finish telling the story, it makes the episodes where they're stretching the story out so obvious.
Right.
You know, like the whole episode where she had to come to grips with, should I even tell them?
That should have been a montage.
It felt like you literally could have done that in so much shorter time. You didn't need 20 minutes of screen time to do that. Mm-mm. You know, especially to end without even telling them. But they did it so they could save it for this moment where she tells them as they show them gearing up, crossing this river like the fucking Potomac, seeing the whole crew together. Like, it's fucking, you know, everybody you could think of was there with them.
Everybody.
Like, the only person that wasn't there was, like, Rosita. Maybe that's who was watching Judith. Maybe Rosita slipped back, saw her unattended, and said, let me watch they baby.
Yeah, you know, I think she was the only one that met, who knows, she met in the background, but I don't think she was
there. Yeah, other than like...
the squirrels were watching Judith.
The squirrels, yes. Yeah, other than...
She had Alvin and Chipmunks serenading her on a cassette tape.
Yeah, other than the extras, that's the only main character that was there. So, they all squad up and they're going to Oceanside, and Enid asks Carl, does he ever think about who he's killed? And he says yeah. And then they show Michonne climbing up a tree with a sniper rifle as part of the plan to take over Oceanside, and Rick asks, is she good? And she says good enough, because Michonne learned how to shoot that sniper rifle.
Yeah, she did.
That's crazy, man. She really self-taught herself.
Cass always ain't shit. He just wrote in the chat that the ancestors, aka the black men of Judith's past, are watching her.
That's who's doing it. Somebody got to Photoshop them into the Malcolm X and Martin Luther King in heaven, watching Judith.
Make it official.
Smiling, watching Judith. All right, so.
I'm going to Photoshop that later. I'm going to get like, you know how we put like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. I'm going to get
Tyrese,
all her past, Manny's,
T-Dog.
Yes.
Everybody loves Chris.
So
Rick asked, yeah, was she good? She said good enough. Cause she's gonna be on sniper duty. Aaron, his husband Eric is there. Cause he tired of seeing Aaron come home with his ass whooped. And he basically was like, look, if you're gonna be coming home with your ass whooped, I might as well be here to see how the sausage gets made. Cause I'm sick of being terrified at home doing nothing.
Correct. You ain't want me out here, but I'm sorry, I'm out here.
You're like, I can be terrified out here with you, and at least we'll be together.
Correct.
And then Jesus tells Daryl that, you know, Jesus, he should have stopped Sasha and Rosita trying to go kill Negan on their own. And Daryl's like, nah, they good. Sasha's the best shot that we got, and Rosita knows how to take care of herself. Which immediately made you have to think, well, that definitely wasn't Daryl we saw at the compound.
Right.
Like at the end of last week's episode. Because what the fuck he doing out here with them?
Correct.
And while they're doing this, you can see that they're like laying down some wires and stuff, like, almost like the explosives they got from the highway. Like they're laying down the groundwork for all that shit. So they, yeah, Jesus is like, all right, then cool. You know, and then Daryl's like, and even if they kill Negan, we still gotta go to war, cause a whole lot of them need killing. And you know Daryl has been 100% on kill all the saviors. I don't give a fuck who they are. We killing them all. I mean.
Yeah, he killed Fat Joy, and Fat Joy was like, look, dog, I just wanna live. Like, he was like, right. Nope, fuck you too.
He almost killed that dude in the cellar last week. And that shit would've fucked up everything. He just in kill mode. Rachel, the badass chap, that girl, is, talking to Natanya, and she cussed and said something about shit, and Natanya's like, girl, don't cuss. And then Natanya walked into her house, and Natanya, if you guys remember, is the grandmother of Cindy. She's like the elder stateswoman of the colony. Everybody. She's leads.
The oldest person there, probably.
Yeah, she leads everybody. She's the one that offered Tara to stay and gave her some fish soup and all this shit. Well, Natanya walks into her house and Tara is in there with a gun, and she's like, don't yell, calm down. And then she's just like, I knew I should have killed you. And two things. Nigga, you did try to kill her.
Yes, you did.
What you talking about? Yes, should have.
Right. Y'all
issued the order.
And y'all shoot like the stormtroopers, so that's why she ain't die.
Well, Cindy's, no, I'm talking about the second time. Cindy saved her life. Them two women, yeah, she sent out there with her were gonna kill Tara.
They were. Yeah,
she lied and said, like, she set up that situation where she was like, Cindy, you stay here, you grounded. Beatrice and this other woman, y'all walk her back. And then when they got there and they saw that walker, Tara had to run for a fucking life because they tried to kill her.
Yeah, she put it together. Like, yeah,
yeah. Cool, y'all, that whole thing, that whole thing is, we will kill you if we have to survive and keep ourselves secret. We will kill your ass. That's what they do. So I don't have sympathy for them. Fuck you. Like, y'all got a hardcore policy of killing motherfuckers if there's a 1% chance something could happen to you. That's y'all's isolationist policy. But that means y'all have to get treated like an enemy from time to time. Like, can't trust y'all. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then, Tara was trying to like talk it out with her. And then Cindy came in with a load of clothes, and Tara was like, hey, Cindy. And Cindy turned around, was like, what you doing back here? And she's like, I didn't have a choice. Basically, y'all need to surrender. My friend's out in the woods. We just want these guns and we gonna leave. But y'all gotta give up the guns because we want to fight the saviors. Y'all could join us. And Natanya was like, hell no, we ain't joining y'all. Tara was like, look, man, last time I was here, Beatrice told her that Rick and them hadn't killed all the saviors. Like, I don't know if y'all remember that part, but Tara was like, oh, my people, they killed the saviors. We're a real good group. We're fine. And Beatrice was like, your group dead, baby.
Right. They're a little bit bigger than they thought.
Yeah, she's like, y'all don't have no fucking idea. Who do y'all think killed all the men in our compound? Like, there's a lot more of them than however many you saw at the outpost. And she's like, nope, we got them. Well, she got home and found out these niggas had killed her friends, killed her boo thing.
Yep.
I mean, she they were wrong, and Beatrice and them was right. And so she was like, we need these guns because we're going to fight them back. And Natanya and Cindy was trying to talk it out, and they wasn't feeling it. And Tara was like, well, they didn't give me much time. I got a certain amount of time, and I got to signal these niggas, and they won't shoot. If I don't signal them, they're going to blow shit up. And they ran out of time.
First special envoy since Dennis Rodman.
you didn't like her negotiation tactics?
Don't send that bitch back to North Korea for nothing, please.
I feel like Jack. I feel like Jack Bauer would have went in there and just shot somebody and got it over with.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I almost felt like that would have made things go faster and smoother.
You know, after playing enough Mass Effect, I feel like I'm very good at establishing contact with new colonies.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna be honest. Jack Bauer would have got this shit done in 5 minutes. He would have put a gun in Natanya's head, took it to town square, and said, "Everybody, leave your guns. I'll shoot this old woman brains out.
Right? Don't fuck with me.
I got snipers in the trees. Chloe giving me satellite reads.
Yes, Chloe.
Like, this is a wrap." But yeah, they didn't send Jack Bauer. They sent Tara.
No, that'd have been Chloe. Send me an infrared shot.
They didn't send. That's not who they sent. They sent Tara. So then it didn't work out. They didn't have enough time.
Right. She watching the clock going, "Shit, I'm not right. I had 24 hours. I blew it."
Right. And they wasted the whole time talking.
The whole time.
Just like some women. Am I right, fellas? Come on. Up top.
I know you guys. Women be talking. Women be talking.
Women be talking. Woo. They, Lord, 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 women can talk.
Yeah, she was talking to some men. It'd have been a whole different thing, but you talking to women, so they wanted to drag the shit out.
All right.
So but then Ben was talking in 140 characters and getting nothing accomplished.
So then
she was doing tweet longer. They was like, "Nah, bitch, I ain't trying to read all that."
So then Funk Master Flex favorite part of the episode came up because they started dropping them bombs. It's like, "Be clear, New York," and he was like,
"In another one."
Yeah, so bombs was blowing up in the back and women was running around crazy like,
yes.
I'm like, "Get the kids, get the babies, run." And of course Beatrice and that other woke the woman that's also did security that tried to kill Tara, I forget the other woman's name, sorry.
Neither.
But they were both like, "The armory," and they start running towards the bombs, and they ran up close to the armory and where they keep the guns. And Michonne shot two sniper bullets right into the ground in front of them. So they stopped running. And then Rick and them, the rest of the people surrounded those two. And Jesus was like, just put down the gun. You don't want to do this. And then she did. And they tied up Beatrice and the other woman. And
see, Jesus out here saving lives.
Mm-hmm. Jesus saves. Mm-hmm. And they took the women to the middle of the woods where they tied them all up. Or not even tied them up. They just had them all on their hands and knees, and they're like, "Look, we just want the guns. Just give us the guns. We'll get what we need, and then we're out of here. And no one needs to get hurt and all that stuff." Meanwhile, Natanya and Cindy weren't feeling the deal that they were offered by Tara, and decided to bum rush her and take the gun. Thing is, gun wasn't even loaded. Mm-mm. Which Natanya then took a gun that Cindy had gotten and was like, you know, like, "March these bitches out of here," like, you know, whatever. And they grabbed Tara and was like, "You are hostage now." So they bring her to the swap meet, with all the women, the women that are on their hands and knees and shit. And they're like, "Listen, we can like, y'all can leave peacefully and leave us our guns and leave us alone, or we can get into some gangster shit. What y'all trying to do?"
Oh, they was ready, because Tara basically had to tell Michonne, "Don't kick her." Michonne was like, "Oh, I will take her. I will snipe the hell out of her."
Yeah, yeah. Tara was like,
"The soundtrack from Set It Off started."
Mm-hmm. See?
That Embrace song. "What's it gonna be?"
Mm-hmm.
"'Cause I can't pretend."
Listen, a real thug would have tried to turn in an angle where Michonne had the best shot. Yeah. But Tara ass is out there like, "Michonne, don't do it."
Right. That old woman had that gun to her hand, to about, "Do you really want to be about some gangster shit?"
Right. All right, let me go to the next segment because we're about to get cut off. I'll bring everybody right back on screen, guys.
No problem, baby.
Give me 1 second. There we go. Should be up in a little bit.
Okay.
But Rick was basically out there like,
"Look, I told you I wasn't stepping too. I ain't disrespecting you, son.
You want it to be one way."
"What?
You want it to be one way.
Man, I don't
you want
know
it to
you...
be one
Man,
way.
Stop. Stop saying that.
But it's the other way."
Mm-hmm. She wanted to be one way. All right, I just invited her back on.
Okay.
And we'll get right back into it. But yeah, she was, Natanya, I mean, she like, listen, I'm an old white woman. I done been through some things and seen some shit.
Right.
And, you
I'm
know.
I'm not here for y'all bullshit.
Right. I said invited a few seconds. I don't know what that means. I think I already hit invite, so I don't even know what that means. Invited in a few seconds.
Mm-hmm. All right. New message. There you go.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right. So then, Natanya's like, listen, I'm old. I'm tired.
I done lived a long life.
I'm getting too old for this shit. And y'all must have forgot. Okay. They killed all, our men.
She was like, we tried to fight back shit.
Right. We ain't trying to fight. And then Cindy was like, Tara is, they gonna fight the Savers, and they want us to join up with them. And then Beatrice was like, maybe we should try. And Natanya could tell she was losing the group. She's like, you've forgotten, you've all forgotten. And like, y'all getting too soft. We need to kill everybody. Without our guns, they gonna be killing us. The zombies suddenly, Michonne saw through the sniper scope, the zombies from the ocean just happened to be drawn to the explosions.
Right.
And the big ass group start coming out of the woods, and Rick and them got in no formation, was like, all right, wait till you get 10 yards behind the line, da 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 da. Get them. They gave all the women the knives and shit, and it was like, set everybody free and was like, y'all kill the zombie, we're gonna kill them together. And they did, like, well-oiled machines. And the women from Oceanside was killing the fuck out them zombies with them knives.
Yeah, they was.
And Rick's people was, of course, killing them. And I think what this illustrated was how organized and efficient Rick's group was. Mm-hmm. And it made them feel like, okay, maybe these are some badass motherfuckers. Right. Maybe they should have these guns, because we shoot like the fucking stormtroopers over here.
Terrible. All we're doing is shooting inside these maple trees or whatever trees these is out here.
Yeah, Natasha talking about having guns, but when you niggas all shoot like Cobra.
Come on.
You can't, it really don't matter. Y'all don't even have target practice. What is wrong with y'all? Y'all got like two people that take it serious. So then.
One of them is a psychopath, 10-year-old. Crazy 10-year-old.
Rachel. Yeah, Rachel was stabbed. She got one. She killed one in the head. So then Rick and them pack all the guns up, because Beatrice shakes hands with Rick at the end, like, cool, yes, take the guns. And then Tanya's like, they're all gonna laugh at you or whatever. She just hated it.
Ah.
And then she was like, just take the damn guns and go. And she walked off. And then,
she got hit upside the head somewhere in this.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, my bad. When Michonne said the walkers are coming, mm-hmm. Cindy took that moment to punch her grandmama in the head and knock her ass out.
Right, she was like, I'm tired of you, bitch.
She sure did.
Now, I thought Cindy was part brown of some type, but she must be 100% white, because you can't hit your grandmama and then just act like it's cool after that. Like, whether you wanted to or not, you have now joined the revolution, and your ass is leaving with Rick and them.
Oh yeah, she gonna have to go.
Yeah, ain't no, I'm gonna be up under your roof eating fish soup after this. Mm-mm. That's it. Them days are gone.
Grandma gonna like, you got your black ass. Got
pack a bag while I'm knocked out and get the fuck out. Because if I wake up, you are a dead person.
Yeah.
But apparently it don't work that way in that Oceanside. She knocked her grandmama out. They kill the walkers.
They'll just talk it out over tea as soon as she wakes up.
Yeah. She gonna call her Natanya instead of grandmama. So she knocked out and shit. And, so then, you know, they kill the walkers together. Beatrice and them shake hands with Rick. And they basically realize, look, the weapons are better in y'all's hands. And we do think y'all are capable of killing them. And, you know, worst case scenario, we don't have no guns.
Right.
And they really did take all their guns. Now, I think, I like that they took all their guns. I think Rick and them have learned a lesson from dealing with the Junkticons, where they don't know how many guns is enough.
Right.
You know, they just show up. If they would have said, well, let's let them have half the guns, we'll take half. Junkticons might show up and be like, need fourth as much, or whatever the fuck, you know. Four time many, four time done. Up, up, up. I'm like, what the fuck? So yeah, they said, give us the gun. We taking all the guns. Gabe was like, do we really got to take all the guns? And Rick was like, yes. Yes.
He was like, to the windows, to the walls. We want all the guns.
Mm-hmm. And then,
they would actually give them back afterwards. I'm like,
yeah.
With no bullets.
Right.
That's a noble concept. Good luck.
Right. We'll holler at y'all. You know, it's going to be like the guns, both eyes, but they're going to stay at my house.
Ah.
So then Carl tells Enid from that conversation from the beginning of the show, he goes, it's not just the ones I killed. I think about the ones I didn't kill too.
Right.
Well, that's how we know Carl is also a psychopath.
Crazy. Crazy. Deranged.
So he's like Arya. He'd be scrolling through names in his sleep.
You're like, I could have killed Negan. I just had it. I didn't plan it right.
Probably could have, but yeah.
I mean, in his mind, you know, I think he'd be dead if he did.
Yes, he would.
But, yeah, so he said he thinks about that shit. And Tara also tells them, we'll bring some guns back when it's done. And then Cindy says some of them do want to go with them and fight the saviors, but it's not a unanimous decision, so nobody can go. To which I'm like, I get it. Because I think a lot of people's idea is like, well, just leave. But that's also because we're used to Rick's group, and y'all think that's stupid, by the way. When Sasha and Rosita say they're going to do some shit, people be like, you stupid motherfuckers. Don't do that shit.
And they complain.
Right. So on the one hand, I'm like, I wish some of them went, but the reason I actually wish they went was because I want to see some of those women become recurring characters.
In my personal opinion, I think they're going to end up going anyway. In my opinion, eventually they're gonna end up leaving their grandma there by herself. But they're gonna be like, fuck you, bitch.
Mm.
You know, cause they're younger and they, you know, they still got a spark in them. And that old woman, she's older. She's like, fuck it. All my fight is gone. And they're like, who wants to stay here in the fucking over here eating fish bones forever, grandma? It's time to go.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I can see them maybe being like a cavalry type thing, but also in all fairness, I can see them not coming. You know, like I can see them really fighting this war and Oceanside don't have much to do with anything. But like I said, I wish some of them went because I don't expect them to spend a lot of time in that community, but I wish a couple of them went. And maybe a couple of them will come because I do like Cindy. I do like Beatrice. Yeah, I would like seeing them become recurring characters.
Yeah, and in my opinion,
I have the feeling that some of them would actually join up with Rick and them.
Yes.
Yeah, they were probably just gonna sneak out and just, you know, fuck it and go.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be some type of referendum.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that everybody, quote unquote, may come because they've already got a vote on it. And then the rest of them be like, I'm going back home. They'll be like, cool, we ain't going back.
See, my thing is, with the whole everybody may come thing, I don't think when they said it has to be unanimous that they really meant everyone has to go. What I think they meant is it has to be a unanimous decision that we're going to send our fighters. Because they actually don't have a lot of fighters.
Mm-mm.
They have about four or five women that we've seen that carry guns and protect the camp.
Right.
And of those,
we're gonna have to get more people who are willing to, you know, volunteer and learn how to fight. They're gonna have to learn how to shoot because they really can't shoot for shit.
Yeah. So it will be a lot.
They're asking a lot of other people.
Yeah, it will be a big ass ordeal, but, and also more, like for me, more importantly, if at this point, if their fighters left, they really would have zero people that knew how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of see them being like, look, y'all took our guns. Y'all can't have our soldiers. Y'all, like, that's enough. Like, we don't even got guns. We gotta protect ourselves somehow. So it felt, I don't know, for me, it felt real and it felt like different communities need to have different ways they work.
Right.
Every community can't be coming as you and do what you choose, like Alexandria or whatever.
I kind of think, and this is just me, you know, this is just my guess. The fighters are going to pretty much get people to volunteer and go with them. And except for like the really old people and the really young and like the babies, everyone is going to go because they're going to realize that come one point or another, they're going to have to, you know, wage this war. Mm-hmm. So it's better to go in prepared
right
than to not be involved at all And then when things settle, you're not going to have any type of like bargaining chip because you didn't put in. So it's like you fight and you see what happens afterwards, or you, you know, just remain in the dark and you know nothing. And then when Rick and them come back, mm-hmm. you know, you don't really have any terms. Like, you just got to go with what they tell you. So you become their bitch because you didn't.
Well, it's going to be interesting because, like, I don't think Rick and them would, you know, make Oceanside.
Okay, no, I don't think that they would, but,
right. But
they would be in a weakened position.
Yeah, but, like, and then, like, they don't have guns, so they're already in, like, pretty much the weakest position, right? But the thing for me is, I could see them, and depending on how it's done, it could be corny. I could see them, like, coming in on some, like, the war effort is down. We don't have enough fighters. It's gonna take everybody. And then maybe a group of them come through like, we got y'all back. Give us some guns or whatever. Like, something like that. If they want to continue to have this community. I have this other theory, but I'll say it after you, Karen. Go ahead.
No problem. And I guess in my opinion, I agree with Ashanti. I think that everybody of age that is willing to fight is gonna go. I think that, I don't know if they're gonna do the montage or something they show, like, somebody over there is gonna train them. Like, you gonna see something where they out there with everybody else, because you still have people that's learning.
Yeah.
So they gonna join the class at the 100 level with the 200 people, and I think they're gonna learn, and I think that, they're gonna join the fight. Or it might be something where the fighters might actually train them at Oceanside and then bring them along. I don't know.
Alright, I won't front. I feel a little weird being too specific with this show because this show's crazy as fuck.
Correct.
So I don't know, like, and if y'all are right, I'm gonna be like, wow, y'all killed that. Cause I don't feel that confident in what they're gonna do. But my other crazy, like, thing that could happen that would be super wild is if they come back after the war's been fought. And, you know, I'm assuming our people will win cause the show is not called Negan. Right. It would be super crazy if they go back up there and all the women are really dead. Like, it's decimated. They literally did cost those people their lives by taking their guns. Cause their thing is, when they leave, Natanya's like, we don't have guns. Like, y'all have killed us. And the cost of war being, in order for us to win, we took all these people, especially the way they went over the top with, we're taking all their guns.
Correct.
Like, there was no semblance of, like, and here's a couple to protect yourself. I really feel
there is no rationing. It is World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is all or nothing. All the essentials is going to the government right now because we need it.
Right. And it's not like they came with them and was like, now y'all going to be another mouth to feed, or we're going to protect you. They didn't offer them anything. They just took the gun. So it would be, I mean, it's kind of dark and twisted or whatever,
but it would be
super wild if they came back in the middle of next season sometime or something, and that fucking whole village looked like it got ransacked because somebody came through and just killed everybody, you know. And maybe we get to see Tara come to grips with what she actually did, because they go into detail on the end of the scene where after, you know, they talk about Natanya not being out there to see them had the guns and stuff. Rick asked, first Rachel asked why they aren't leaving weapons. So that's like the second or third person to bring it up.
Wow.
And Tara flips her off because, you know, fuck that little kid.
Right. She's the worst.
And then Rick asked Tara if she feels bad, and Tara's like, nope, I'm a white woman. And they just keep going.
Ah!
But she's like, no, you know, like, I don't have to feel bad or something like that. And I was like, Tara would feel super bad if she came back and then people was dead.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that would be a great way to show the consequences. In my opinion, I think it's been a great way to show the consequences of their actions, because I think that the shit they did at that outpost, just randomly going in there and killing people, calls me gonna respond. And it's one of these things where, in Negan's mind, y'all bad people. Y'all came and y'all, before they got them, y'all just came and just killed some people that didn't do shit to you.
Mm.
So I think this would show consequences of you just going out and just being, not having any empathy or sympathy for anybody.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, war does strange things to people, as they say.
It does.
And then, like, if Tara comes back and everybody's dead, except Rachel, and then Rachel kills her like Kennard did Omar in Noir. That would be the best ending ever for her. So then, yeah,
that little girl gangster. She the only one that survived.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So then Rick and crew return to Alexandria. They see Rosita's back. She opens the gate. Jesus and Enid ask, where is Sasha? And Rosita doesn't answer, but she's like, somebody wants to see y'all. Then she takes them to the cell that Morgan built. Shout out to Morgan, the real MVP.
Come on.
People slept on that cell.
Right.
That cell getting a whole lot of use.
Long time to build that cell too.
Can't just be a fucking, kill them all society, guys.
Right.
Some things gotta be some other penalties. Anyway, and inside of the cell is Dwight wearing Daryl's leather vest. And Daryl immediately goes off. Yeah. Daryl lunges at this dude because he's like, this nigga got on my vest. Give my bike back, you know, with my crossbow.
Right.
Rick holds Daryl back and then he turns around and Rosita says he wants to help us. And Rick says, is that true? You want to help? And Dwight says, I do. And then Rick pulls out that big ass gun and puts it in his face. He's like, get on your knees and suck everybody's dick in here. I don't know why he told him to get on his knees, to be honest. I don't know what that meant, but he told him to get on his knees.
Oh, because they had to get on their knees.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Like, are we supposed to feel like he's going to kill him, though?
Possibly. I don't think he is, but possibly,
yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's obvious that would be such a waste to kill this dude.
Yeah, because he has so much information, and Rick realizes that. But I think it's one of those things where he's like, hey, you're gonna feel something. All the bullshit we had to go through because of you, we're not gonna make this easy. Like, yeah, they literally got on their knees and watched their friends die. Bitch, yes, you are gonna get on your knees.
I guess my thing is, since he ain't there with no friends, it just feels stupid for me. Like, I think maybe they did that for the audience, for people to just feel like they gonna kill Dwight, you know. Also, you know, for me personally, I don't feel anything for Dwight, so if they shot him in the head, I wouldn't give a fuck. But, you know, it might be a problem with Negan and them if you kill Dwight, but, cause he don't know Dwight ain't loyal, you know.
Correct.
But, yeah. So, what are y'all looking forward to next week, Karen?
I'm looking forward to the beginning of the war. I think something's gonna start. I'm looking forward to, gonna do in his limousine ride. Like, you know, is he gonna call and text in advance to let them know he coming?
Mm-hmm.
Gregory, yeah. To see what he up to. And my theory, I think that he gonna end up making them go to war before they have to by just going up there telling. I think he's been quietly on low, keeping them informed. And I know it might sound fucked up. I know Enid, quote unquote, Enid has changed, but it will be really fucked up if she was the one leaking the information.
Oh yeah, I definitely wouldn't see that coming at this point.
Cause I've always, my suspicions has, cause she was used to climb over the wall and shit and go, I'm like, where the fuck is she going?
Well, I feel like they probably explained all that, but if, you know, if that would be a long con. If they did that shit, like, that would definitely be one where it would blow a lot of people's minds, because I think she's been suspicious.
Yep.
She's been not suspicious much longer than she was suspicious.
Correct.
And I thought they probably kind of cleared it up that she had like a fight or flight thing with that just stay safe, whatever.
All right.
So I feel like they really did a good job of like canceling out the suspicion about her. So yeah, if they bring it all the way back to that, that'd be a huge callback. I think it's Gregory. I think also Gregory has just been there to see all the shit. Like, they did too much shit at Hilltop knowing that dude was a sniveling coward.
Correct.
And Maggie even said cowards are the worst people. You know,
and Maggie is a threat to him, so
mm-hmm. Right.
And she don't trust that dude,
and he got cucked in front of her, you know.
Come on.
Ashanti, what are you looking forward to next week?
I am looking forward to see if the Junktagons have advanced their English and started incorporating pronouns into their sentences.
Come on, verb.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing whether or not Sasha can, you know, get her Rubik's Cube of crazy together, get all the colors matching on all sides so that she can figure out a way to kill Negan with that pill. So she has to really fight herself. Like, she has to be clever about this if she's going to, you know, get out. So she could probably, you know, do the, you know, the mole spy thing, try to assassinate him on the low, but she has to be smart about it. And we know she, you know, tips into crazy pretty easy. So I want to see how she manages to, if she gets close to Negan enough to do it, how she does it, and whether or not she kills Eugene along the way, because I feel like that's coming.
Yeah, those are all things I'm looking forward to as well. I mean, you know, I do want to see how Dwight talks himself out of getting killed. Like, what does he say while he's on his knees? Because I feel like he's going to have to say something. Because I don't have any.
Get on your knees and tell me you love me.
Yeah, right.
From that old movie from Home Alone.
Yeah, I think something like I'd have to see something like that. And
no, but Daryl's going to kill him.
I want to see what's going to happen with the kingdom. Cause in the preview, they show Zeke walking around with that tiger outside the, walls of the kingdom. So I want to see like how they're getting information. And I do think, next week, Sasha's probably going to die is my guess. Cause, if she tries to poison Negan and it don't work, cause she only got one pill. Dwight said it would take like two to kill Negan.
Eugene.
Oh yeah, Eugene. Sorry, Karen. So Eugene said he would try to kill. It would take two to kill Negan. She don't know that. So if she really wanted that pill for a weapon to kill Negan, it might not work, or he might catch her, or something like that. And I think he's gonna use her the way he used Daryl when he went to Alexandria, because he thinks they're up to something. So I think he's gonna show up with her in tow. Where, you know, push come to shove, he'll kill her in front of everybody, you know?
Yeah, that's true too. And I think something like that may kind of strike off the war.
I think whatever's happening, the war is starting next week officially. Like,
right.
I don't think they're going to get the neat attack that they've been planning.
Mm-mm.
But I think they'll probably square it away where, like, they gave the guns to the Junkticons already. The Saviors have, the Kingdom has guns, you know, Alexandria, is gonna see Negan at the gate and shit, and then I think they won't be able to, the reason it'll drag out for half a season to a season next year is because it won't be a neat battle, because it's not gonna start on the timing that they would like to have it.
That's true, and to kind of go back to something Ashanti said, I think that, she is gonna use those pills. Sasha is going to try to use that pill. I think something's going to happen. He's not going to die. And I think in return, he's not going to kill her. He's going to kill Eugene in front of her. And then because I think those two chicks may have told him, even though they was talking to the Eugene and Eugene was like, what if you tell him, he's not going to believe you? They may have told him.
Okay.
You know, this is my theory. Like, they may have
we all got different theories.
Right, like, they may have told him, and he kind of kept it back there, and was like, nah, I ain't gonna worry about that.
Well, that would have exposed them. Like, Eugene was right in that if they went and told Negan, that would, impact them more, like, negatively. So, they probably kept it soon.
I can't see Negan. I think Eugene figured Negan out when he said he kills the person that's the least the most disposable. To him. Like, there's another Dr. Carson, fuck him, kill him. I don't have two Dwights. You know what I mean? And I think when it comes to
he knows his place in the pecking order.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Eugene versus Sasha, he definitely killed Sasha more than he killed Eugene, because Eugene got utility. You know, Sasha ain't done nothing as of yet to earn her place in his keep. And if she tries to kill him, I don't think he gonna look at it like, you care about Eugene, because I think he's just gonna be like, no, I'm gonna take you now and kill you in front of your people and teach him a lesson about rebelling against me.
Cool. Okay.
Or something that. That's my guess. Now, I'm not saying I don't know any more than you know. So, I mean, your theory might be the one that, I don't know, honestly. It could go either way. It could go anyway.
Right, because he might be like, who gave you this? Yeah, and find out Eugene did it, so he might fuck him up. But then again, he might just assume that she did it, or she might be like, I did it on my own accord. Even if she could rat him out, and he end up fucking her up.
So, who knows, man? Who knows? Because, yeah, he would want to know where that pill came from.
I battle sequence to look like, you know, at the end of Glory. Mm-hmm. Where the 54th storms the beaches to try to get at Fort Wagner, and then what's his face from Ferris Bueller goes down first, and then Denzel, and that's Rosita. I really want her to die. Mm. And then comes up like, no, she gonna die. Grabs a flag and then gets shot, and they both get tossed in the same mass grave together. Beautiful scene. I hope they die exactly like that. Like, I really do.
Well, they said it won't be ending on a cliffhanger this year, supposedly. So, we'll see. Let's get to this feedback. Fireman says, hey, Karen's husband and Rod's wife. Another episode of The Walking Dead down. One to go. Here's my thoughts for the episode. One, how would you rate that punch Cindy hit her grandma with? LOL, only white people would knock out their grandma and it'd be okay. You know?
15-yard penalty.
Come on.
I said suspended for a game.
That's why you gotta listen to the black version of the review shows. White people not even picking up on this. Mm-mm. Number two, have you noticed Tara returned and no one asked for Heath? Right? Where is Heath? Like he got swept under the rug, which is kind of what his hair looks like.
Didn't she say she lost him or something like that? Or didn't she explain that?
We know that. I think this person's just making a joke. But yeah, even on the return to Oceanside, she didn't even ask. Have y'all seen Heath?
Washed up in Washington D.C. and the clock started.
Number three, where is poor Judith? She probably up in her room with Judy Winslow.
Sitting up in my room.
She probably went up to her room and she's never coming down.
Ever returning again.
Till she's doing porn for West Coast Productions. P.S. Love the show and you guys and Karen, congrats on the Jamaica trip. I'm getting married.
Oh yeah, congrats. Seriously.
I'm getting married in the end of June and I'm going there for my honeymoon the week of the July 4th. Fireman.
Congratulations.
Let's see. EVE writes in, hi Rod, Karen, and Ashanti. My heart is broken because I think Sasha is a goner. She went to the black acting school and acted her butt off so well that she convinced dense ass Eugene that she actually wanted to kill herself. I believe she was trying to get a knife so she could run up on Negan with it. You could tell by the look of disappointment on her face that she didn't want to die when Eugene slipped her the pills. I was surprised that Negan didn't try to make Sasha his wife because she would have been the baddest chick in the stable. Well, I mean, she would have had to get some instructions from that other black woman on what's up with the hair products, but yeah.
Come on.
I guess he thought her big beach ball sized lady nuts would be better utilized another way. Well, that's the thing. He keeps some women around him that just kill.
Yeah, he does.
Like, that's the thing about that harem shit that, I mean, it sucks. Whatever, because I think in the think piece way, people want to get more into the nuances of like, what exactly is rape culture and what is consent? But I think there's an inner working to their economy and their hierarchy there, where it's not like the only women you see that are like sex slave ass women. Mm-mm. Like, it seems to be a society that to some extent allows women to do whatever they want to earn their keep in their place, quote unquote.
Correct.
And we've seen women that work in the shop area. Women that work in leadership positions. We've seen women that have, you know, the guns and the woman that showed Eugene the ropes around this facility asked Spencer if he wanted to come back to, you know, like, so it's not like every woman walking around that gotta give it up to Negan. Mm-hmm. I just think, it's
a highly structured, you know, society. I mean, yeah, it looks like us, like the sanctuary is complete anarchy.
Right.
But he has drones, like those are the people that have to like work to earn points to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. So you have like your proletariat at the bottom there. And then you have like your class of middle managers.
Yeah, like it's a whole thing.
Everything, and then you have like he's like Gaddafi in that he has like those like special like women like to protect him and all that stuff. So he has a very, you know, stratified, clear class distinctions among everyone. So,
yes,
you know,
it's still,
when he sees something special in you, he'll develop, he'll figure out a way to bring you up. And that's why Eugene is comfortable, because he understands where he is.
Yeah, it's still off-putting, and he's still a bad person in my opinion. He's still a horrible guy, but I can see how in his mind he doesn't think he is.
No, he doesn't.
You know what I mean? I can see how in his mind he thinks this shit is like just the way the world has to be now. And it's like, no, it doesn't. But Evie goes on to say, speaking of Eugene, wow, just wow, what a damn coward he is. I understand that he's scared and never wants to feel that way again, but to be that far up Negan's ass after what he did just gives me very little reason to respect him. Yeah, that's the guy you show to Rick's group if you really want to show, you know, a slave. That being said, I still think there's a 5% chance Eugene isn't completely gone because he was trying hard to get Sasha to join the dark side. What? How is that a positive? That, if anything, that shows you how gone he is. Yeah. Mainly because I believe he was trying to convince himself that he made the right decision. And to be honest, even giving Sasha those pills was a big risk, because with Sasha dead, Negan doesn't have a hostage. If Negan were to find out that what Eugene did, he would get the furnace faster than Glenn's eye popped out. He may not come back to Team Alexandria in the finale, but I feel the next season he may have a burst of courage. I'll say this, to not shoot down your whole idea, because I feel very strongly differently than that. But I will say this, we've seen a guy like him have courage in the past, in a situation where I was like, I would not, if you could have told me anybody, I would have picked him last as the person that drove them 37 minutes in that damn RV, okay?
Yeah.
So I will give you that much on, like, maybe the show will feel like there'll be a moment where he just does something really courageous that we never see coming because he's normally a coward. But I don't think they've earned or built up any of this shit about him somehow having this secret plan and all the shit that people were saying. I don't see how any of that is up for debate at this point. He's clearly a coward, and clearly
he will never be a legend.
Never. He'll never be a legend.
By the way, thank you for getting me onto that show.
Listen, it's so good. It's so good, my nigga. Alright, so Tara, she also goes on, Tara rolled up on the Tanya like Sophia from The Color Purple. You told Harpo to beat me. But I knew Tara was too soft to actually take a loaded gun. Rick, man, I'm not gonna front, that was the last thing I expected. When they took that gun from her, she's like, it's not loaded. I was like, of course.
The hell?
Of course.
You just came up here for a show.
Right. But yeah, Rick's crew took Oceanside shit like the Saviors, and it's kind of made me think briefly what makes Rick's team any better than the Saviors in Oceanside's eyes.
Right.
I mean, they didn't kill all the men, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Ain't no men to kill.
I mean, look, one thing that is underrated on this show, and I think as people that aren't living in a zombie apocalypse, we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. The impetus to get revenge is a real motivation. And the show often uses that. So I can understand the logic in Oceanside of being like, oh, all you need is our guns to kill the motherfuckers that killed my husband and my son? Take them. Take them. I personally don't feel like I can go fight that battle. Mm-mm. But if I can give a gun to the motherfucker that'll do it, take all the guns. You know, I can see why some, and like it wasn't a unanimous decision, but I can see why some of the women would have been very gung-ho to be like, yes, please do this. You know, look at how many people just after 9/11 got super, super, I'm into the military and patriotic and shit, right?
Mm-hmm, signed up and everything.
Right, and let's beat some Muslim people in the street and some Sikhs because we don't know the difference. Like, look at how people were acting after that shit. And 9/11 didn't really happen to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, not in a personal way. Like, if you came and killed my son and my husband in my face, that shit, like, I might be on some, like, fuck you.
Right.
And I can't do nothing about it. But if I had a chance to help somebody that did, I would help them. You know? So, to me, revenge is an underrated plot device on this show. And either you believe in it or you don't. But I believe in it. So, it made sense to me.
Yeah, that's a burning fire that did this. Mm. It'll make people do some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like when she said, you all, you don't remember, you guys don't, I was like, no, that's the problem. They never forgot, Natanya.
Right.
Like you tried to turn, you're trying to turn it into fighting back is bad. And they're like, no, I would have given my life that day, you know?
Correct.
Anyway, she goes on to say, Oceanside is between a rock and a hard place on the who they can trust. I do hope they decide to join the fight, but Rick could have left them with some guns to protect themselves. I agree. I don't blame them if they say fuck you to fighting with Rick. As for Dwight, he can keep his ass at the sanctuary. I don't trust him. If I was Rick, I would have said, get on your knees and suck these nuts. Fuck him forever. Can't wait for the finale, EVE. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, and I'm on team fuck Dwight too, but like, matter of fact, more than anything you said about Eugene, coming back, like more than the reasoning you gave, the reason I can see them trying to turn Eugene back is because of what they're doing with Dwight. Because I think Dwight is irredeemable. And, yeah. But somehow.
Listen, he's going to die. Daryl's going to take his ass out.
Yeah, but somehow the show wants us to believe that he's not. You know what I mean? Whether we agree or not, the show thinks putting him in that cell and saying he wants to help is something that us as an audience are looking at going, okay, so Dwight is gonna help them somehow. Like, can we, like, we're supposed to at least be like, can you trust Dwight? Maybe after that letter he got and all that shit. And I, like, while I see the story elements lining up and I see what the story they're telling, I am not there yet, because he just was too good enjoying making people suffer. Last one.
Check your DMs.
Mine? Oh.
Yes, please. All right. And Twitter.
All right, cool. Checking it right now. And we got one more email, and that's it. As soon as these DMs come up, come on, damn it.
Yeah.
Let me just check it on my phone. Good God, what is going on? oh my God. Guys. Ashanti's already made the Judith Guardian Negroes art. Oh my God.
You got the pic?
Well, give me a sec. I had to click on it and bring it up on my, I'll bring it up on
the share screen.
On the share screen, and I'll show you guys. Ashanti, how do you do these so fast? Did you go to college for this?
No. I have a degree in political science. Listen, I just realized that there's an app to make your own Bitmoji. So I was like wondering how you had those cute little things.
Mm.
And then I think you said something about,
yep. Judith's Guardian Negroes. Yep. Yep. You gotta get my man from Everybody Hates Chris up in there. We gotta get Bob. We gotta get Bob up in there.
So Bob and Chris as well. They were
Manny's. I'm trying to think. Is there anybody else?
Bob didn't watch Judith.
Oh, he definitely watched Judith at least once. Look, the joke is all the black men that have died have watched Judith. Okay. Now I don't know how true it is, but we need to keep it going. Okay.
Okay. So should I just put all the black dudes, even from like. That one from season 1. Oh,
yeah,
no, that was
T-Dog. Yeah, all of them. Because I don't even know if T-Dog met Judith, but that nigga's on the list, okay? Everybody's on the list, guys. I think T-Dog was dead when Judith came. I don't remember.
He was.
Yeah, so, and Morgan's alive, but Morgan should be on there, too. Yeah. Morgan should be on there. All the black men.
Put them all up there.
Okay, well, damn, let me go make
sorry to make you do more work.
While you read the last one.
All right, so last email. Hey, Rod and Karen, and maybe a guest. I want to let you guys know that your recaps were the reason I started The Walking Dead around season 5. So appreciate you guys. Now onto my remarks. One, I've been with Rod and you about Eugene from jump. He's been a coward since jump, and he's still a coward willing to align himself with the greatest chance of survival. When he told Sasha that Abraham would have wanted her to submit to Negan, I thought she was going to stick that knife through his heart. Hopefully people have given up on Eugene by now. Well, as you saw by the last email, they haven't.
They're going to believe it to the end.
The lesson you guys should take from last week's show is to never put your faith in cowards. They will always put themselves ahead of the group. Number two, the moral hypocrisy of Rick's group never really sits well with me. Besides killing people brutally, the way they rolled up on Ultraside is terribly different from how the Saviors rolled up on the group, on groups, or how the Wolves rolled up on them at Alexandria. I mean, I get that they have perhaps a more noble purpose for stealing shit, but they're still stealing shit. Yeah, here's my thing, that I liked about that. Especially the last scene where Rick asks, tells Tara, like, you know, you good with this? And she says, no, you were right. I don't have to feel bad. That's kind of what you're going to need to survive. At some point, you're going to be a moral hypocrite, dog. You're not going to be able to be the noble, good person that does things the right way 100% of the time and survive in war. It's war at this point. So to me, while the show could have set it up to make it seem like there was a noble way they got these guns, it wouldn't have felt true. It would have felt very convenient if they, Oceanside just talked to them and gave them all their guns. Or if they walked up there and Oceanside was dead, but their guns were somehow still around. Like, it just, there was no way for them to get those guns without being dicks about it. You know? And it's almost like, We're still gonna go put our lives on the line with your guns and help you out. Like, you may one day live in freedom, and it'll be because we were willing to go die for your ass. You know? So I can understand it. Cause honestly, man, them guns are useless to those women.
Yeah.
Like, if the Saviors came up there and somebody ran up on them, man, what are they gonna do? They can't, you know what I mean? They can't shoot. They're not really prepared to battle. You saw how easy Rick and them got the guns from them. I mean, I don't know, man. But I understand what you're saying. I just think at some point you gotta be okay with being a hypocrite in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, and sometimes I think that a lot of times people look at this show and society itself, the moral standards are not the same as the quote unquote moral standards we have now. And so when you look at a society where it's shambled, you know, it's crumbled, you don't have police, you don't have people regulating mm-hmm. things.
Can't take somebody to a court.
Right. You don't have governments. You don't have a right to due process and all this type of stuff. Everybody comes up with their own rules and regulations, almost like their own little small individual kingdoms. And the end result is that everybody's going to have these various variation of different lines of morality.
Number three. The dude that Negan stabbed, why did it take him forever to turn? Man, they get so loose with these rules for when people turn into zombies. The zombie behavior is completely dependent on whether the show needs at this point. First of all, how dare you? How dare you, Lionel? The show has always been that way.
Always. Yes, it has.
I remember always. That episode where it took fucking, oh God, what is her name? It starts with an A. They had a whole season about her.
Andrea.
Remember when Andrea's sister died and it took a whole fucking episode for that zombie to turn? Mm-hmm.
Season one.
But then in the same, like, storylines, different story, like, people turn faster. I think when they went to the CDC, they realized that there was no set time for people to turn. Mm-hmm. When they showed all those experiments they were doing and stuff.
Correct.
I just think it's always been convenient, and it's just whether or not you allow that for the show. And I just think 7 seasons in, I'm allowing for convenient zombies. It just, I'm okay with all of it. Like, it was,
yeah, because
the zombies that don't make noise until they write up on people,
right.
The zombies that make too much noise from too far away,
correct.
The zombies that attract other people, the zombies where you see a fucking can rolling and every zombie decides to follow the can even though they just seen a person,
right?
Like, I literally am at the point where I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever you guys say, man. Whatever y'all say.
Yeah, it's no.
I still wonder how these walkers metabolize the shit that they eat.
Yeah, I mean, even now we have the zombies that are falling apart, right?
Yeah.
Like the Negan zombies. Like, I don't know how. The science isn't the part I'm worried about. Like, that's the thing is, since the show never really took much of a scientific approach to, like, and we're gonna solve it, and we're gonna find, is it a virus? Is it? It's just like, nigga, there are zombies. What would you do? The average person don't have all this fucking know-how to solve it. So now you're living in a zombie world. How do you operate?
How do you deal with
it? Yeah. But yeah, and we really don't know how long that took for that zombie to turn. Like, we don't know if that was a whole day. We know that it couldn't have been the whole day, because he didn't let her stay in a room overnight, in a different room. So I don't even think it was a whole day, you know. So I don't know, man. Anyway, I don't get caught up on that. Lastly, I'll be interested to see how they wrap everything up. Thank you for doing the reviews. Thanks, Lionel. And I'm not fussing at you. I just literally just, I'm gonna be frank. I don't be caring.
Yeah.
Some zombies can swim. It don't seem to have a rhyme.
Some zombies can float.
Yeah. Like, I decided not to look for reasons in this shit.
Some zombies are just there for scare tactics.
Right. Yeah.
For the convenience, you know, like, Maggie's, sister, when her, the episode with her and Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
And they was at that golf course, where the rich people were.
Right.
She walk in, all of a sudden, a zombie just pops out of nowhere. And, you know, there'd be times where people barely, you know, you fighting them off and they gnawing at you. Yep. You know, but you go, okay, you're a main character. Odds are, you're not going to die.
And they never get bit until they need somebody to get bit. Like,
correct.
We've seen motherfuckers run through a whole goddamn squad of zombies
and not get touched.
And all of them, every zombie just apparently just whiffing like they playing Bo Jackson and fucking Tecmo Bowl. And then we've also seen like a zombie just come out of nowhere, bite somebody on the neck, you know?
Yeah.
Or it seemed like somebody's just standing there while the zombie's biting them and they're not doing shit. Like, it just, yeah, it's whatever's convenient, and I'm at this point, I'm okay with it. If it was a thing I would get hung up on, I probably wouldn't even watch the show at this point, you know, because it's so late.
Yeah, sometimes they come in twos, sometimes they come in a pack, sometimes right. they come in a squad. We don't right. never know what we're going
to
get.
It doesn't seem to be a lot of rhyme and reason to it anyway.
Mm-mm.
But,
And I'm fine with that. Like, that stuff don't, but the zombies, in my opinion, I like the trees. They for background effects. But, you know, some people come strictly for the zombies, which I completely understand, but...
Well, not to get too deep, but it's like that moment they had on the show where they were like, and we're the Walking Dead, not the zombies. It's us. All right. All of us know we're going to die and turn to zombies. So we're the ones who are already dead. We just don't know it yet.
Correct.
All right, guys. Make sure you check out Ashanti. Oh, you did it just now? Wow. All right. Hold on a second. Let me see. But yeah, man, Ashanti, how can they you know, hear more of you?
Yeah, well, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is @notthatAshanti. On MTR, you can be referred to as Petty or Petty Krueger. I think I might discontinue that since pretty much I really don't go by it anywhere else. So yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm also Not That Ashanti on Instagram, but be forewarned, I'm the most boring person on there, so you may not even want to bother.
No, you're not.
But yeah, check me out on the MTR network, the MTR Premium Network.
And follow her on Twitter. She also live tweets with us when we do. That's so perfect. That's definitely the show art right there. Judith Romanis. Where is Judith, guys? Where is that, baby?
I have a mind to throw King Ezekiel in there just for shits and giggles.
You know, if you do it before I can put up the art, I'll definitely put it on the show. So.
Get his headshot then.
We'll be back.
Should I throw in the tiger?
Challenge accepted.
I feel like the tiger is not, a black man, but you can put him on if you want to. Put her on. We'll be back. Actually, for premium people, we'll be back in the morning with a very special episode 200 of Balls Deep Sports.
All right, $200.
Yeah, matter of fact, probably make it open to everybody. Everybody can watch
it. I'll even be there, y'all.
Karen's gonna be there.
Another special shout out to Marissa. Welcome to premium. I finally got her set up. I don't have an Android, and so when I got her the premium membership, we were like trying to figure out how to set it up. But she's been a big, big fan, and I realized after the fact that she didn't have premium, and I was making all kinds of like, you know, cheap shots at the 49ers. All throughout football season, I didn't realize she had no premium. So it really, she didn't know.
Well, welcome to getting
common on the low. Welcome to getting her and Imani, the only two 49ers fans.
Well, welcome, like, welcome to getting trolled. Okay, Marissa, you're welcome to get trolled now. So
yes,
we'll be
she
back.
Can, she can fight back because now she knows.
Yeah. and we'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, 10 a.m. Me, Justin, and Karen will be doing the pregame. Then we'll do Ballsy Sports. And I'll, like I said, I'll make the the crowdcast open to everybody.
Yes, we will.
I'll still email premium people, but I'll still, it's going to be open for everybody. Just come on through and hang out with us. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Mwah.